about.
Listen to yourself, man. You're hanging with nerds.
But nerds are my mortal enemy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We're going to Comic-Con in San Diego.
You mean the NerdCon at the convention center next door? Okay.
Nerds, hear me! Comic-Con is not a place for David Schwimmer and his dad, even for NBC sitcom. It's a place where people like us can be ourselves.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
And now.
That's because you don't know what Comic-Con is. Imagine 100,000 unwashed comic book fans in costume shoehorned into a musty convention center that smells like ass and corn chips, all waiting in line to see 3 minutes of something the rest of the world will have to wait 2 weeks to see.
Our feature presentation.
That's pretty accurate.
I don't like what he's trying to say.
It sounds accurate to me. Sounds about right.
I don't care for that description.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin Abeen Show. It is 5:35. It's Thursday, the 24th of July.
I'm not sure I like you following us down to Comic-Con again this year, Ralph. I'm not sure I'm crazy about you grabbing onto our coattails.
That's what happens.
Coming down for our weekend. Thank you, Lisa. Lisa was there. She's a witness to history. She knows, man. She heard all those years where you're like, oh, you guys are dorks. I can't believe you guys are going back to San Diego. Hang out with all your nerd friends.
Well, first of all, you guys are dorks. What you're not is geeks, and that's the big difference.
Yeah, that's bad, right? I mean, dorks is
bad.
Yeah, that's not a good thing,
I don't think. Geeks, though, rock.
Yeah.
Geeks rule the world now.
Yeah.
You made fun of us for all these years, and now we rule the world.
Now, you guys are going to take this the wrong way.
Ugh.
Why are so many geeks fat?
How could anyone take that the wrong way?
That's a legitimate question. I saw people leaving the hotel to go off and do their various Jabba the Hutt stuff this morning.
It's not a scientific question.
Why
it's
are so many
you
Americans
saw a few
fat?
People.
What? Ralph's got a good question. It's true of America.
Obesity is a major problem in America.
I think it's a major problem at Comic-Con is what I think.
Yeah, because this is in America.
I'm just saying.
You know, since you got down to your AIDS weight, all of a sudden you're very picky about how other people look.
First of all, I was never Comic-Con nerd fat ever in my whole life.
Now you look like a baton with skin hung over it. It doesn't mean that you can pick on other people, man.
I'm just saying, I saw a group leaving the hotel, and I was hoping that they all had separate cabs, because there's no way they were all fitting into one.
This is how it's going to go.
That's all I'm saying. It was just an observation.
Welcome to San Diego, Vin. We're happy to have you here.
This is how it's going to go.
Hey, since this
is... He's going to punish us for having him come here. That's what it is.
Since this isn't on the air, and this is just the practice warm-up show, could we get a little bit more Lisa in our headphones? Or any way you can turn that so we can hear her back here as well, too? How are you, Lisa?
I am fine. And
we're sad that you're not here.
I forgot that you weren't going to be here, and I'm like, oh, I could have worn sweats to work today.
Well, you have time to go home probably between...
You dress up for us?
Well, I dress up for everyone, but certainly not for just Mugs.
How dare you?
It's just Lisa and Mugs.
Yeah,
Imagine how popular Lisa would be if she were down here.
Oh, she'd be very popular.
She'd be the queen.
You never let me go.
That stereotype has gone by the wayside. There's no shortage of attractive women at Comic-Con every year.
That stereotype was not gone in my hotel lobby this morning at 4 a.m.
Yeah, you saw what? Four people?
Yes, four.
Really? The hottest girls weren't out at 4 a.m. in your lobby, Bean? I wanted to parade them past your room?
I didn't say a word about girls. I was just saying there were four huge guys.
But I'm saying not much of a sample size.
Absolutely.
Not much just of a talking about four people.
Not much of a sample size.
Middle of the night.
I 1,000% agree. I didn't say it was scientifically accurate.
How many people are down here? 150,000 or something?
200,000.
200,000. Yeah. Bean saw four.
Saw four fat people, and now all nerds are fat.
Everyone's fat.
That's why is everyone fat?
Wow.
Hey, listen, do we have time for a quick story?
From you?
We're not sure now, but...
Yeah.
We don't have to.
We'll roll the dice.
If we're on a tight schedule here...
Oh, it's not tight schedule. It's just we're just worried about you.
Mugs, can you give me a little echo? Can you give me a little echo on my voice?
Good luck.
Wow. We're broadcasting from San freaking Diego.
Well, isn't it just a button? You just push a little button or something like that?
Let's try it out. You guys... Yes, but it's a different setting. Go ahead. Here we go.
A little feature we like to call... You be the judge.
Wow, that was terrible echo.
Okay. All right, never mind. Here's a guy named Raul Placencia Quintero.
Guilty.
Is that what you think? You be the judge. He was on trial recently in Woodstock, Illinois. He decided to send a penis photo to his wife. He was going to sext his wife a penis photo.
Well, right? She's seen that before.
Yeah, sure. Waste
all
of
right,
time,
whatever.
In my opinion. But
you know, keeping things spicy, a little romance throughout the office days.
So did he draw a little face on it or put some clothing on it or anything?
Doesn't say anything like that.
Hat.
So he does, like you do, he took a picture of his penis and sent it to his wife on the phone. One problem. He misdialed the number to send the penis photo to his wife, and instead it was one digit off.
Okay.
So it went to a completely different person who happened to be a 10-year-old girl.
Oh no.
So he was traced back to him, and he was arrested, and he was charged with misdemeanor obscenity. If convicted, he would face a year in prison jail, and a fine of up to $2,500. His defense attorney said he misdialed by one digit. By a negligent slip of the finger, he sent this incorrectly. It was a simple mistake, a misdialed number. The judge in the case has made a ruling as to what will happen to Raul Placencia Quintero, and this is why I am asking the question. You be the judge.
Hey, that was pretty good.
You be the judge.
So this is in front of you, Your Honor. How do you rule? On the one hand, it wasn't intentional. On the other hand, he sent his penis to a 10-year-old girl.
I think he gets nothing but probation. I think he does get probation because the judge needs to send a little signal, but it was an accident. So he does no time.
I'm pretty sure death penalty.
Lisa says death penalty.
Okay, I didn't realize that was one of the options. I may have gone with that.
I think no jail time, but he has to register as a sex offender.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. How do you like me now?
Good one, Ralph.
That's pretty strong.
Does it strike anyone as strange that somebody has to manually dial his own wife on his cell phone?
Yes, but I do that sometimes.
Why wouldn't you have the people that you talk to all the time, the people that are closest to you, saved in your phone, though, Lisa?
They are in my phone. It's just sometimes it's just easier. It's quicker.
Okay.
I don't know.
So we're going to be asking this question
hitting
about Lisa soon.
Hitting one button is easier than hitting nine buttons?
Yeah, sometimes because I've got a contacts button and a phone button, and sometimes I hit the phone button, and then I just dial.
I'm glad you're not a Comic-Con.
I'm a dork, really not a geek.
The judge said he found the picture to be unseemly. However, it is a far cry from being inappropriate and spending up to a year in jail. So he released the man with no penalty.
All right.
So he walked.
He's the wisdom of Solomon,
judge. Yeah, so he was letting go. The state was arguing that he was reckless for not double-checking the phone number, but the judge said, nope, honest mistake. We'll let him go. No harm, no foul.
And now he and the 10-year-old girl are dating, which I think is a lovely way to end that story.
They're going to get married soon.
That is adorable.
So there you go.
So Lisa was closest with the death penalty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So, I win.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
That sounds horrible.
You haven't even heard it. Today, we're broadcasting from the San Diego Comic-Con. We have Tenacious D stopping by.
Awesome.
I'm sorry?
I said great. I'm looking forward to that. I love them.
I said fat. Dr. Drew on the program today. We're going to talk to Michael Schneider from TV Guide about a bunch of stuff he's doing down here at Comic-Con. We have some highlights for you. Jimmy Kimmel on Snoop Dogg Show.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear that.
It's a bizarre, bizarre thing.
It's a great interview.
It really is. So we have some highlights of that. We have Rich DeMuro. We want to know about this 4K TV.
I saw it in the store this week. I got to tell you, it's hard to not want it.
You've seen it advertised everywhere, 4K, 4K, 4K. It's like what times high def?
I don't know.
Ten times?
Yeah, something crazy like that. It's way beyond high def. High def now looks like a 5-inch black and white TV now that you've seen this.
You can see through people, I heard, when
pretty
you're
much.
On your screen. You see their bones and their organs.
But is it something we should pay attention to, or should we just wait on this one for a while?
Sounds like a crappy gimmick to me.
Besides the fact that it is crazy expensive right now.
How much are they?
It's 4K. It's $4,000. Well, that's why they call it 4K.
How big was yours, Bede?
The TV that I looked at over the weekend, it was a 78-inch TV.
So and pretty big.
It was $8,000.
All right, that's a little much.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
They should call it an 8K then.
So we'll wait for that to come down probably, but we'll ask him and find out what's going on with it. And the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman.
Kirky.
Or Kingman, depending on who you're talking to.
We'll
be here this morning on The Kevin DeBeach Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's The Kevin DeBeach Show at 5:53 from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh!
You okay?
I'm just so happy that you say that. Finally here. It's like Christmas morning.
Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin DeBeach Show. What's going on?
You know, a lot of people looked at Naya Rivera from Glee. And said, it's a little early for her to be getting so frisky with this new dude. I mean, she just ended her engagement to rapper Big Sean in April. It seems like she's moving a little quickly. She should calm down that relationship with that new fella.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why they were seen sort of going at it publicly in Cabo. They're on their honeymoon.
Yay!
Okay.
She ended her engagement to Big Sean in April. She met this actor, Ryan Dorsey, and now they're married. On the same date that she was supposed to get married to Big Sean.
She's like, I have a place already.
I've already got a planner. I've got a location. I've got the ice sculpture ordered. Who am I going to marry? You, dude. Come here. We should do a phone topic of quickest time from a breakup of a major relationship to marrying someone else. This is April to July. That's pretty strong.
That is pretty good.
Now, apparently they have been friends for years, but I guess they just decided they were madly in love. After 4 years of friendship, they just said, yes, we're in love.
But every romantic comedy I've ever seen, the girl is going to end up with one guy, and then she realizes it's another guy she's actually in love with. And then once she gets rid of the first guy, she clears her schedule and goes with the...
Wait, you're basing this on
romantic
movies? On romantic comedy movies?
But look, I think that's as close as being get the humanity.
But I'm saying the rest of us live in the world.
Right, but I'm saying those movies are written that way because that is a common experience, though, with lots of people, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a fantasy.
No, I don't think so. I think it happens for a lot of people. A lot of people, they realize...
Why was the Transformers written?
Why am I
because
engaged?
It's based on a very popular real-life situation where your truck starts to talk to you.
Do you not understand fiction?
Of course I do.
Well, TV is fiction.
All right, Lisa generally has my back. Lisa, what I'm talking about is you are going down the path with a relationship with somebody, and then you realize at some point, wait a minute, that's not the person I should be with. It's this guy over here. That happens in real life all the time, right?
It does. It's happened to me.
Lisa.
No, it's happened to me.
All the time.
You say you're, well, yeah, but you had to settle. But, I mean, if you're friends with someone for 4 years and then suddenly you decide you're in love with them.
Yes. I think that's very common.
Well, first of all.
Why am I with this?
Big Sean broke up with her. She didn't break up with Big Sean to go running after her boyfriend that she loved for the past 4 years. She got dumped.
Right.
And she had a haul.
And then she got lucky.
She had a caterer.
And she realized.
Oh, this dude's here. I'll marry him.
I shouldn't be with Big Sean anyway because he's my true love, this guy over here. Yes.
Sometimes there are people where they're each with somebody, but if they weren't, but it's just a timing thing sometimes, that happens too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
We deal with weird people. Here,
we
Kevin.
Really do.
So do we, Lisa?
I saw a romantic
life
comedy.
Life is complicated,
one time,
you guys.
Life is complicated, you guys.
I find that life is like Cameron Diaz movies. In fact, I think three girls will often go out and fight crime together and call themselves Charlie's Angels. That's a common experience.
That's
it's
true.
Be based in reality, right?
You guys don't know, man.
Sad news: a British coroner testified yesterday that Bob Geldof's 25-year-old daughter Peaches did indeed die of a heroin overdose.
Oh, that's awesome.
Peaches, the TV presenter there in the UK, had been a heroin addict in the past, but was taking methadone for 2.5 years before her death. Apparently, she fell off the wagon and started using heroin again. Here's the thing: street heroin is usually at about 26% purity. Then they cut it with something else, and that's the usual level of drug intake that you get when you shoot up with or ingest street heroin. They found 7 grams of heroin in her apartment in the investigation after her death, which was 61% pure.
Wow.
Almost 3 times as pure as the average street-level heroin drug.
She's got an awesome dealer.
So apparently that
she's dead.
Contributed to the overdose.
That's tough.
And, of course, ironically, Peach's mom, Paula Yates, also died of a heroin overdose at the age of 41. So
I'm trying to remember what movie I saw that in.
I think people shoot up heroin because it's like the movies. It's a common experience. Is Bieber enough of a dick?
Yes.
To fake a disability to cut in line at Disneyland?
Yes.
He was seen this week at Disneyland sitting in a wheelchair being pushed around to the front of the line so he could get to the front of the line. When asked about it, Bieber's camp said, oh no, he had a knee injury playing basketball, so he needed that wheelchair. Which I say, no.
No, indeed.
I say.
Now, the other side of the story, and I'm right with you guys on Bieber. The other side of the story I heard is that he doesn't need to cut in line because he creates such a frenzy when he goes to Disneyland that he has a park employee that escorts him in and out of all the rides anyway.
So maybe he's just a lazy a-hole who didn't want to walk to the front of the line?
I think that's...
He just wanted to be pushed around?
Looking more likely, yes.
Like when he was carried on top of the Great Wall of China by his bodyguards?
Right.
What an ass.
Imagine getting to the point where you no longer want to be in charge of your own mobility.
I don't want to use my legs anymore.
I just want to be carried everywhere.
Well, Bean, if you had people who would carry you everywhere, you would absolutely use that.
Be so awesome. I'm going to jump on Super Steve's back for the rest of the week that we're here. Just have him carry me all around like a rickshaw.
And who has the number one album in America right now?
I'll answer Weird Al.
Weird Al Yankovic. Mandatory Fun is the number one album in America.
Are you genuinely happy for Al?
I am genuinely happy.
First time he's ever had that.
Here's the thing. It's the first time that a comedy record has been number one on the Billboard 200 since 1963.
Wow.
So he has really accomplished something.
Amazing. Amazing. And it's such a surprise to him, too. You know, we had him in a few days ago, and he was like...
He seemed blown away by the sales.
Yeah, you don't know what your expectations are in the new, you know, the new environment when you put out a new record, but people still love what he does. I'm so happy for him.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Lopez is 45 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth turns 46. That was an awful bell. Something bad's going on over there.
Our travel bell is having some growing pains here.
The lovely and talented Laura Layton is 46 years old. Boy, she's spectacular. Rose Burns, 35. Anna Paquin's 32.
Wow.
Michael Richards from Seinfeld is 65 years old today. Rick Fox, former Laker, turns 45. Karl Malone, another former Laker, is 51. Gallagher is 68. I wonder if he's still smashing melons at 68. Summer Glau is 33. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men is 32. But since we're at Comic-Con, we got to celebrate. Linda Carter, the OG Wonder Woman, baby, 63 years old today.
Yay!
I would love to get caught in her magic lasso. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not positive.
No. It's a sexual, I think I know. It's a sexual innuendo.
Okay, I'll
her vagina.
You'd like to have sex with her.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Guys, where's the new plane?
Oh, geez.
Where's the new plane? The Air Algeria plane that disappeared 12 hours ago, flying over Africa, no sign.
Do you realize that now, Kevin, every time a plane disappears, it's a double tragedy for us? Because not only do we have to deal with the tragedy everyone else deals with, which is the loss of the plane and the potential loss of the
passengers. And they cover that all the time on TV already.
But then we have to endure the tragedy that is being.
Yeah. 110 passengers and 6 crew members.
Right.
Flying through a sandstorm, just vanished off radar an hour into its flight, and no sign of a crash.
You know what happened?
What happened?
It crashed.
Then why has nobody reported that? Why, if a plane crashed anywhere, shouldn't somebody see it?
No. Overland,
there's
so many huge areas.
In
Africa, there are hundreds of square miles.
There's no real estate left in Africa. Every square inch has been developed. It should have hit a building.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I'm just saying somebody should have seen the plane come down. That's all I
That's a ridiculous statement.
In the middle of the Gobi Desert?
Or wherever it landed. It just seems like a plane just shouldn't be able to vanish
thousands of square miles of ground where nobody would ever see that happen.
I don't like it.
Nobody likes it.
I don't like it.
But don't be an idiot.
Hey, speaking of planes, I had to fly yesterday to get down to Comic-Con. We are broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego on the second floor if you want to come on by and say hello. I had to fly yesterday.
Hold on. You're telling the people in L.A. right now to come on by to San Diego to say hello?
There may be a lot of people driving down for Comic-Con.
All right.
It kicks off today, right?
Okay.
All right. So I'm flying yesterday, and you know it's the bane of my existence having to deal with other people and their problems. And I get on the plane, and I'm sitting next to, you want to guess? That's right, another pregnant woman.
Well, listen, for those of you who don't remember the story, Bean was previously traveling on a plane when an extremely pregnant woman asked him to please swap seats with her so that she would have more room for her enormous pregnant belly. And Bean, being a dick, said, no, I'm not moving. I'm comfortable here.
Hey, Mug, stop clapping for yourself. Hey, Muggs, we might need the Beans a Dick song. So
try to
find that in a few seconds.
It's already up.
All right.
Oh, good, man.
So this lady on the plane yesterday is not enormously pregnant. In fact, she's only 5 months pregnant, but she still can't stop massaging her stupid pregnant belly, okay? I get on the plane. And what, Lisa?
Why does it bother you that she does that?
I don't like people who are with child.
Well, it doesn't even make sense. You're upset at people for no reason.
Because
she rubs her belly the wrong way?
My experience has been that pregnant women think that their pregnancy is the only thing in the world that matters, and they want the entire rest of the world to revolve around them.
And you think that's why they rub their stomach?
I don't know what's going on with that. It's just creepy. Stop it. All right. So I get on the plane, and I'm in. You know, I'm lucky enough having worked a long career to be able to fly first class, which I'm grateful for. So we're in row two, and I go and I sit down, and first I roll my eyes because I'm sitting next to another stupid pregnant lady, and then she says to me, she says, "Hey, would you mind switching seats with the person in front of you so that I can sit with my husband? Because my husband's in row one."
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And you said, "Of course."
You said,
"No
sure,
problem.
No worry. We're all in first class. It's all the same.
Of course.
It's all the same to me."
I don't
enjoy
your
trip.
Answer, hold on. How is your answer not? Of course, no problem.
Well, thank you for asking, Kevin. I don't like sitting in row one.
Oh, sweet Jesus!
I don't like. Well, first of all, I like even numbers, as you guys know. Even numbers are best. But second of all, I don't like sitting in row one because in row one,
my head hurt.
You can't. There's no place to put your carry-on. There's no place to put your, you know, your backpack.
Right.
Your
no,
whatever.
I do understand
this
that.
Plane didn't have any overhead.
No overhead compartment for storage whatsoever.
I didn't realize you were on one of those non-overhead planes.
Oh, you were in a prop plane. You're in one of those biplanes from World War One.
No, it has overhead, of course.
Well, that's where you put your bag then.
But you can't access your stuff when you're sitting in your seat.
Oh well, no, yeah, because it takes a lot of effort to stand up.
You want to be able to reach in your backpack and pull out your magazine, your glasses, or your, you know, your iPod or whatever it is. You know, your iPad, whatever it is you're using, you want to be able to have that right there available to you.
Or you just pull that stuff out before you put your bag in the overhead compartment.
Yeah, but you're moving stuff. Well, anyway, the point is. So I don't like sitting in row one. And by the way, when I booked this reservation, I intentionally didn't book row one because I don't like row one.
So, fine. Okay. Look, everyone has their preference, but then sometimes life happens to you and you adjust.
Life happened. And speaking of adjusting, how about a lady who's a grown-ass woman who ought to be capable of flying for 2 hours without sitting next to her husband? How about she can survive sitting for 2 hours on a flight to San Diego? How about that?
I know this is a foreign concept to you, but some married couples like each other and vacation together and spend time together.
And I'm certain they were with each other the other 22 hours of the day. I think they're going to be okay sitting 1 foot from each other in separate rows. I don't feel bad about not moving up to row one.
You should. You're a dick.
That's not a dick move.
That, D-I-C-K.
You guys, if she were pregnant, would you feel differently?
She was pregnant.
Yeah, but I'm just asking.
If
should
she
you
wasn't,
always move if someone asks you to?
Yeah,
I do.
Really?
If it's six of one, half of the other,
I
always do.
Because it's if it's a couple, they want to sit next to each other, of course.
If it's a mother-daughter, husband, whatever the situation is,
sure.
If people want to be together, then I let them be together.
I mean, one's asked me, but I've certainly flown in separate seats, separate rows from somebody.
I have
and
too.
I don't ask people to move.
And it's totally fine. Yeah, why inconvenience?
Look, if you don't want to ask people to move, that's fine too. But if someone asks me and it's all six of one, half of the other,
but it's not in Bean's
case.
He is right.
But it's not in my case, it's not.
But the difference is so infinitesimal. Why? That to do it solid for another human being would be so easy and such a small hardship on your part.
But
you selfish prick.
But isn't she the selfish prick for asking somebody else to rearrange their schedule because she
you had to rearrange your schedule? Did they put you another flight? Did they cancel your pickup at the airport?
She could.
You were moving 1 foot to an exact same seat.
That's true. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
You don't have to like it. But you have to
look,
be.
Everybody wants things the way they want them, but sometimes you accommodate other people out of just
but
kindness.
How big a deal is it for her to sit in her seat and her husband sit in the seat in front of her?
How big of a deal is it for you to sit in that
seat?
Well,
answer my question
first.
Same amount of deal. So wouldn't it have been a big deal for her to not.
So she's wrong, but
ask.
You're right, even though it's the same amount of big deal.
King, what do you think? You're over there shaking your head.
Listen, you guys are all bougie in your first class. When you're in the coach, ask those
point.
People who ask you to move.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you book
why,
those
what
reasons.
What difference does it make in
because
coach
either? Normally I book, you know, like a window because I like to lean my head and that's
right.
The way I sleep. So someone's like, oh, let's move. Can you move to my friend? And I was like, no, I booked the window. You stay in the middle seat where you belong.
Well, I think we
but
all
see,
would agree moving to a middle seat is a different
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
That's
yeah.
a big difference.
That's
middle.
A big difference. But what Bean's talking about, which is another first class seat.
There, right in front of you.
No, I get what Bean's saying because you want your stuff. And
you're
you know,
such
it,
a pussy.
In that front row, you have to put everything away. And
oh, that could be
oh,
a nightmare.
Honestly.
But you know,
most people commit suicide when they have to sit in first
tough,
class in row one. You're
it's
right. It's a horrible experience.
Get your stuff. You know, you're putting yourself in danger at that
Here's
point.
What I'm saying about this, this
you're
pregnant lady.
A child,
this
Kevin.
Pregnant lady rubbing her belly thing. Is that just because she doesn't understand birth control shouldn't inconvenience me. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Who's with me?
Beans a dick! 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 What a dick! 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 Beans a dick! 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 What?
finish this song.
And then play it again.
He's a dick, 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 dick. He's a giant dick. Dick, dick, dickity dick. Dick, 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 dick. Bean's a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean is a dick. Bean, 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 bean.
Today's show.
Dick, dick, bean is a dick.
Every show.
Dick, dick, bean's a dick.
That's my ringtone.
Broadcasting live from the Whale's Vagina, San Diego, California. This is the, 45th annual Comic-Con convention? Is that right?
Sure.
45 years? Does that sound about right, Ralph?
70. Yeah.
Going on a long time.
Yeah.
Gets bigger every year. A couple of 100,000 people coming down here. Obviously, so much going on inside the convention center.
If you can keep away from Bean, that would be advisable.
What are you talking about?
Nothing.
But some of the crazy stuff that's going on is I just don't understand. Like, I get that people are excited about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. I understand that.
Right.
I can see that. I can see if you want to go to a panel and you want to see those people talk and you want to learn, you know, see footage from the movie. I get all that. Why do I want to throw pizza from, like, a giant catapult or
Here's
whatever?
Here's the thing. We tried to get Bean last night to join us.
Why do I want to do that?
King of Mexico and assistant producer Christine and then me, and we were going to – it's a tank that shoots pizza.
How can you not do that?
Why
not
given
the opportunity? How can you not do
it? It weighs 2 tons. It stands 12 feet high, and it literally throws pizza, at a crowd, and then you dive for it?
No, it's got stand-ups, like a shooting gallery game that actually fall over when they get hit. It's awesome.
Trying to knock down Shredder?
So we texted B. We were like, hey, we're going to shoot some pizzas. And he said, that's not for me.
No.
And we were like, do you understand what we're talking about here? We're talking about Tank that shoots pizzas.
No, they have Yoo-Hoo in the minibar.
Why is throwing pizza a thing that is appealing? Look, eating pizza, if you said, hey, free pizza –
by the way,
your whole life you eat pizza.
Right.
Well, how many times do you get to throw a pizza?
What's the draw of throwing a pizza?
What kind of question is that?
How much more of a draw do you need?
This is a tank that shoots pizzas.
I understand that, but
how do you need more further clarification?
I don't think you do understand.
What does it mean?
What do you think? What does it mean?
The Ninja Turtles love pizza. That's one of their trademarks.
Understood.
And you're using pizza as a weapon.
Okay.
It's not for me.
So he's like, it's not for me. And then we wrote back, hey, seriously, don't you understand? And he wrote back, la, 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 la. That was his response.
I don't think there's much explanation. Now, there's also laser tag this year. We found out this yesterday from Jessica Chobot from the Nerdist channel. There's laser tag at Petco Park. Now, that is not for me either, but I can see why people might enjoy that.
I don't think anything's for Bean. Anything that just requires getting out of his hotel room is not for him.
You practically live in Gotham City down here this weekend, by the
That's
way.
That's true.
They've got a zip line that goes through a recreation of the skyline of Gotham City that you can zip line through Gotham City. It's like being Batman on the bat rope. You zip through Gotham City.
And is that just behind the convention center?
Yeah.
Between the convention center and the Bayfront, the Hilton Bayfront.
Have you done it yet, Ralph?
No, I haven't. No, I just got done last night, so I didn't have a chance to do any of this.
We're
going to
do
stuff.
It. We're doing the zip line, and Bean's doing it with us.
Not to mention.
Hold on. You're in with the zip line.
You'll zip line, right?
I don't know.
But you'll never experience anything like that again.
No,
it's awesome.
No draw for me for ziplining.
There's no draw for you for anything. Are you still alive?
Anything fun? There's no draw for being. Did your feet drag when you zipline? Is that the problem when you zipline 30 feet off the ground? Do your toes drag on the ground?
I can just walk from point A to point B. I don't need to do it hanging onto a rope like
but
a monkey.
You can't do it flying through the buildings of Gotham City.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's not to get from point A to point B. It's a destination in itself. It's fun to go do by itself. You're not just trying to get someplace else.
I don't know. There's an Oculus Rift fan experience for Sleepy Hollow. Now, that's the thing, a virtual reality thing that you put on your head, right? And then you're transported into another world.
Yeah, and then as your arms move, it moves.
Oh, I still have to move my arms, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just wants to be turned into an avatar.
Yeah.
And speaking of Gotham, the Uber down here, they've got certain Uber cars that are decked out like Gotham City police cars, and they will pick you up and Uber you anywhere you want to go for free.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Uber's the greatest.
Commissioner Gordon, give me a little kindness.
All right, and I have one more question for you. Maybe you guys know more about this than I do. This is Adult Swim, of course, is getting ready to debut a whole bunch of new shows for the fall.
Yes.
And they have something called the Meat Wad Full Dome Experience making its debut. Yeah.
That's what Bean was renting instead of coming out for the pizza shooting thing with us.
The Meat Wad Full Experience?
The Meat Wad Full Dome Experience. What do you guys suppose that's about?
You don't know Meat Wad, the character Meat Wad?
What's Meat Wad?
From Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Oh, really?
Meatwad.
What is the full dome experience, though?
I'm going to give you the full dome experience.
Last year, it was like a fun house, and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you got lost in it.
It's a mind-fudging, interdimensional space coaster love canal.
All right, so you're into that. it's called a love canal because you actually come out of a woman's vagina. I'm not kidding. That is actually real.
Wow. Now we're talking.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Then you got the Nerd HQ over at Petco Park. Okay. There's so much to do.
Yeah, it's not for me.
There's too much to do is what I'm saying.
Unbelievable.
Can I do it from a photo mat? Can I do this show from a photo mat?
Our friend Michael Schneider from TV Guide Magazine has lots more about what's going on in the panels next hour here on The Kevin DeBeach Show. Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, is going to be joining us. The greatest rock band in the world, Tenacious D, will be here today. And our weekly visit with Dr. Drew, too. It's all coming up this morning, live from San Diego. It's The Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous. Hey, was that Coldplay? Were you listening to Coldplay right there? Because I think our little friend Chris Martin is going to be joining us on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. We are live in San Diego at the Hard Rock Hotel right here on floor number 2. As you walk into the front of the door, you come on up the stairs and say hi to Kevin and Bean Show. Just had some listeners stop by just a minute ago. So King of Mexico the other day says, guys, I think I need to buy this new TV. It's only $120,000. And we said, what?
I've seen these advertised a lot. These 4K TVs are supposed to be, you know, a million times better than high def whatever they're saying.
I'm starting to hear a lot about 4K, but I'm a little bit confused about what that means versus the Ultra HD and what's up with the curved screens. And I know, we're at Comic-Con, and, this isn't the CES in Las Vegas, but we couldn't wait to ask the questions. We're bringing on our friend Mitch DeMuro, who, of course, is the tech reporter and has been for a long time over there on Channel 5 in town. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. So jealous that you're down there at Comic-Con. Hope you're having fun. It's always a blast.
All of us are, except Bean.
Hey, there's still room for one more. Get in your car. Come on down after work today.
Okay. That'll take me, 6 hours at, 3 p.m.?
Maybe.
So, Rich, you are the tech guy, and I know you have been obsessed ever since you've been a little kid. It's hilarious to read that you were on CompuServe, by the way, which takes us back a few years, doesn't it?
I still remember my email address. It was, 7663 comma something. It was, some crazy number email address.
I remember dialing into something called Baudtown in L.A. back at 288. Does that sound familiar to you?
That was Broadtown.
No, that was Baudtown.
I only wish for that. No,
this was before there were graphics on the internet. So, yeah. Anyway, so you have been always at the forefront of whatever is new technology-wise, and that's why we thought of you when we started asking all these questions about TV. TVs are always looking for some way to make us buy a new one, right? There's planned obsolescence in all electronics. But what should we think about 4K, and tell us what's going on with it.
Well, here's the deal with 4K. 4K, the new keyword for it now by the Marketing Association is really Ultra HD TV.
Same thing, those two.
They're basically the same thing, exactly.
Okay.
So it's just everyone decided, hey, let's just call it Ultra HD so people understand what that is. So it's basically four times the resolution of standard high-def TV, so 720p, it's four times that. So things look really good.
All right, but let me just interrupt real quick. Does it look four times better?
It doesn't look four times better.
It doesn't translate that way.
Number one, it's really only two times more high res than what most people have because a lot of people have 1080p sets now, so it's really two times that. So, but it's four times the original HD format. But the point is, it looks really good. You can sit a lot closer up to it, and it looks really good even close up. You know how Mom always said, "Don't sit close to the TV; it's going to ruin your eyes." Throw that out the window because 4K lets you sit as close as you want, and it looks great.
Now, does it matter what you're watching, what is being broadcast? I mean, is this something that they need to change on the other end in order for us to see it on our end?
Absolutely. So right now, good luck finding anything in 4K because you can't. I've tried.
So there's literally nothing being broadcast in 4K.
Not being broadcast in 4K, but there is. Sony does have a 4K server you can buy. It's $699, and you can get movies that are delivered to that device that can work with a Sony TV. So that's the only way that I know of, really. Netflix.
But are those up converted from a regular thing? So they're not really the real deal.
No, I don't think they're up converted. A lot of people are shooting in the 4K format. It's just a matter of getting it to your TV in that format. It doesn't usually happen that way. Now, the new TVs do actually upconvert to 4K. So if you're watching some content, in fact, this Consumer Electronics Association just said, hey, all the new ultra high definition TVs have to upconvert for the time being because there's not too much content. But do you need one? Probably not. At this point, a lot of TVs are going to start coming out with them. Like the next generation of TVs will have a lot of 4K. But if you're buying a TV right now, you might want to look into it because the next 2 or 3 years, there will be more content available.
The problem, though, as I see it with buying one, is that they are crazy expensive. So to me, that means maybe I wait for the second go-round when they drop the prices and they're probably going to make some improvements.
Yeah, do you remember when TVs first came out, they were like 10 grand for a flat panel 50-inch TV.
Yeah, now you can get them for like 50 cents.
This is the voice of Rich DeMuro here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the tech reporter for KTLA Channel 5 Los Angeles. What about curved TVs? I was looking at them at the Best Buy the other day, and that's new to me. Is that a significant improvement over a flat screen?
I think the curved gives you more of an immersive experience if you're looking for like a full movie experience. Here's the thing I think is going to happen with all these TV features. They're going to become features on a TV. Nobody really looks for a 3D TV anymore. They don't say, hey, I want to go buy a 3D TV. But the reality is a lot of new TVs come with 3D features built in now. So you don't even have to look for it. In the future, TVs maybe will be curved. Maybe they'll actually curve. You can say, you know, like Samsung showed off, well, we'll talk about this $120,000 TV in just a second, but, you know, Samsung at CES was showing off a TV that goes flat, and then the edges curve in. So flat for when you're watching your daytime talk shows and your regular newscast, but it curves in on the sides when you want to watch a cinema experience, like a movie or Gravity or something awesome like that, that you want to be immersed into it. So I think that is where it's going.
Was 3D a little bit of a failed experiment in that it seemed like for a while you saw a lot of channels and shows that were advertising they were going to be in 3D, and then they just kind of quietly evaporated, and that doesn't seem to be much of a factor anymore?
Yeah, like ESPN being one of the big ones. They had
I got a 3D TV because ESPN was doing it.
That's the thing. I mean, you think about all the awesome ways you can use 3D in the different movies. The reality is, in the past year, there's been exactly one movie that I've wanted to watch in 3D, and that's Gravity. And that's it.
Yeah.
So
right.
When you talk about a home set, are you going to buy it for the 3D? Probably not. Now, when it comes to broadcasters trying things in 3D, of course they want to try it out. But the reality is, someone like ESPN, guess what? Nobody could see that signal. You needed a lot of different equipment to get to that level. Even if you had the 3D TV, maybe your box didn't support 3D. Maybe the person didn't have the 3D glasses. Maybe they didn't spring for the extra pair of 3D glasses for their household. So only one person in the house could watch 3D at one time.
All right, two more questions for you, Rich. Number one is, you brought up the $120,000 TV. This is a Samsung 105-inch curved Ultra HD TV. Is it so expensive because it's 105-inch rather than, you know, a 78-inch or something like that you might be able to just buy at a regular store?
Yeah, part of it comes from the fact that they're building a panel that really hasn't been built before. I mean, this is a huge panel for this TV. Part of it is that it's, it packs a lot of new technology, including, you know, the ultra-high-definition TV, and it's also curved. So it takes a lot to figure out, well, how do we curve this screen as well and still make it look great? So, and it's the first of its kind. Now, they said 10 people already ordered them in the Middle East. So that's one report that I read. So people are apparently buying these things. It's a huge 105-inch TV. We saw this at CES back in January, but it was just available to order this week. And
if Dave waits, though, a couple of months, like for Christmas pre-orders, might it come down to like $110,000?
Maybe. And it makes that $100 HDMI cable they're trying to sell you at the store seem really cheap. And if you're buying a $120,000 TV, throw in the cable.
That is an excellent point.
So we're saying wait this one out for a bit.
You know what? I would say don't put the down payment on it just yet. I'd say buy the Tesla first, and then you can buy this maybe when it goes down a little bit in price.
There you go. All right. You can follow Rich on Twitter, at Rich DeMuro or at KTLA. He is the tech reporter for Channel 5. Rich, always a pleasure to catch up with you, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We'll see you down here this weekend, okay?
Okay. Always great to be on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 6:53. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
It's been rumored, and it's going to happen. Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Disney has announced it's set for a summer release for 2017. So get your calendars out.
Hold on, let me check.
2017?
Free?
I'm busy.
You're free in the summer of 2017?
I can't believe it.
Oh, you're going to miss out.
Do you think they'll change?
I don't think so. Not for you.
I can't believe. Look, I understand why they're making another Pirates movie. The last one made $1 billion. But why do they need to announce a release date now? Is it just to send warning to other movies? Hey, don't open up against us that weekend in 3 years?
No, well, they haven't picked the weekend yet. They're just saying summer of 2017. And it's just to start the hype machine rolling. Are people looking forward to another Pirates movie?
That's true. A lot of people don't know about the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. They got a awareness.
Oh, man. You're just never happy, are you?
I just don't get it. I don't know. What?
Don't worry about it.
You don't get anything.
It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you for them to say it's coming out in 2017. It doesn't bother you at all. It doesn't affect your life. It's okay.
All right.
It's all good.
All right.
It's all good in the hood. More great movie news. HBO has announced they're putting together a new series based on one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time from 1973, a movie called Westworld. If you've never seen this movie, it's awesome. It's about a futuristic Western-themed amusement park where everyone in the park are all androids, robots.
Awesome.
So you and your buddy, you say, let's go to Westworld. And you get to dress up as cowboys, and you go into a saloon, and you pick a fight somebody, and you get to shoot him dead. But you're not really killing a guy; you're just killing a robot. But he bleeds and everything. And there's
what if the robot kills you?
Well, that's the hook: is that the computers start to go wrong, and the robots start to turn on their humans.
Artificial intelligence. It's going to happen. They learn,
and these two guys are left struggling, trying to not die at the hands of a gunslinger who they killed several times at Westworld, and he's coming back for revenge.
That sounds cool.
It's a really cool movie, and I think it can make a great series. And the best part is they also have robot hookers.
I'm sorry?
They have robot hookers.
Bean, that's just for you.
It's perfect for me. Now we're talking.
No, for everybody. You go to Westworld, and they have like the brothels, the old-time Western brothels, and you get to have sex with a robot hooker.
What?
The future can't get here fast enough.
Great thing about robot vaginas?
I'm afraid to ask.
Yes?
No STDs.
Ah.
Oh, well, that's
okay.
What? The Old West, back in the... in the real Old West, you'd lay down with one of those, you know, dance hall girls or whatever.
Sure.
Take your chances,
right? Your penis would fall off about 6 weeks later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to do that on HBO. I'm looking forward to that.
A robot never asks you to switch seats on an airplane, either. another advantage.
Jack White, as if it isn't enough that he is a musical genius, he's now in the book business. Third Man Books will offer up its first effort on August 5th. It's a 321-page hardcover book called Language Lessons, Volume 1, featuring poetry, prose, and art by 20 different authors, including punk rock pioneer Richard Hell.
No! I hate books!
The book comes with a two-album set of music that you've never heard before, frameable posters, and Jack says, of course, there will be more sets in this series. So now you can get Jack White books as well.
He's creating quite a little empire out of Nashville, Tennessee, isn't he?
He sure is. This bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me, but it does bother me. This Justin Bieber kid.
Yeah.
Seen at Disneyland this week, getting to the front of the line in a wheelchair. Now, people were asking the question, is he low enough to fake a disability to cut in line at Disneyland?
The answer to that is obviously yes.
But, as Bean mentioned earlier in the show, they say celebrities like Justin Bieber, because they cause such a hullabaloo when they visit the park, they get escorted around and get to go to the front of the line anyway, which means it's only two options. Either he's faking an injury to go to the front of the line, or if he doesn't need to do that, then he's just too lazy to walk to the front of the line.
Maybe it's that. Maybe he's going to become just like a super just fat guy.
Wouldn't that
they
be great? Wouldn't Fat Bieber be the best thing ever?
They have like to get a crane to get him out of his house.
And he still goes around with no shirt everywhere. Yep. Just rolls
Making
and rolls
sexy
of
photos
fat.
Of himself in bed.
He's a dish.
He is.
Make a note, we need to talk to future Justin Bieber on the show, please.
Future Fat Bieber. Today's celebrity birthday is Jennifer Lopez is 45 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth turns 46. Laura Layton's also 46 years old.
That's some kind of gel or something in that bell. I'm afraid to hear what that is.
It's not gel.
Gel is the best case scenario.
Anna Paquin's 32. Damages star Rose Byrne turns 35 years old today. Michael Richards, Kramer from Seinfeld, is 65. Barry Bonds turns 50. Karl Malone is 51. His fellow Laker Rick Fox is 45 years old today. Summer Glau currently can be seen on Arrow. She is 33 years old today. And while we're talking about science fiction and comic books and Comic-Con, since we're down here in San Diego, the original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, celebrates her 63rd birthday today.
Yeah!
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman. All the world is waiting for you.
That's right. waiting for her. Oh, I loved me some Wonder Woman back in the day. Filled out a gold star-spangled bustier better than Linda Carter.
One of the rumors that I heard, and it's a long shot, granted, is that a new Wonder Woman may be announced at Comic-Con this year.
We already know. We already have a new Wonder Woman.
Do we know who it is?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, maybe we'll
Gal, Gal Gadot.
Maybe
Gal
we'll
Gadot
be brought out playing, on stage then. Maybe that's what
Gal
I
Gal Gadot is playing Wonder Woman in Superman versus Batman v Superman.
That's right. Well, I guess what I heard is that she might make an appearance. She might be in front of the crowd.
He's just making stuff up now.
Hey, you know what I heard? I heard they're going to announce something that's down here. I heard they're going to kill her live on stage.
They're going to kill her. That too. And then they have to announce somebody else.
I think that's what it is they're going to bring her out on stage. I think that's what I heard.
You know, I'm really tired of riding your coattails down to Comic-Con since you have all that comic book knowledge right at your fingertips.
He keeps ruining stuff.
Finally, you admit it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Woo! Banjos!
Right?
Right? Who's with me?
I like that song.
I do too. It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, and we're broadcasting live from the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, we are, with some great guests joining us down here this week, including our good friend Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, who will be here 1 hour from right now. Tenacious D later on the program today. While we're down here, we're going to talk to Ralph, your girlfriend, Catherine McPhee.
I know.
She's in a new TV series.
Scorpion.
With Robert Patrick. We also have Kellan Lutz and Randy Couture from The Expendables on the show. Zach Levi is going to stop by. Chris Martin from Coldplay. Daniel Radcliffe. Joining us tomorrow on the Kevin Bean
Harry
Show.
Harry freaking Potter.
First time he's ever been to Comic-Con, by the way. With all those years of Harry Potter, he was never down here before.
Can we just refer to him as Harry every time we ask a question?
I think you should. Hey, where's your lightning bolt?
Just see how long he puts up with it.
Mike Tyson and Dan Harmon, creator of Community, all of that. Speaking of Community, the Community panel this year is going to be hosted by our good friend Michael Schneider, who is the L.A. Bureau Chief for TV Guide Magazine, and he joins us here at Comic-Con. Hey, Michael.
Woo!
Yeah.
You have spent more time with the Community cast than they have with each other. How many different times have you interviewed them?
I feel like I'm the unofficial sort of moderator now for basically all the Community.
Because you did their Paley Center too,
I've
right?
I've done a bunch of Paley Fest. I've done a couple of their Comic-Cons in the past too. So,
were you surprised to see Community live on for a season 6, even albeit on the internet?
You know, in a weird way, I wasn't because it looked like it was going that direction for a while. It still makes Sony, which produces the show, a lot of money, and Sony has been known more than any other studio to resurrect shows. They've brought back all sorts of things. Unforgettable, the show that's on CBS, they brought back from the dead, and there have been others like that they've managed to resurrect. So this one still has a rabid fan base, and as you see with Yahoo picking it up, there are people with tons of money willing to step up and pay for it.
I always wonder when I see a story like this, I mean, are we moving more and more into, you know, the internet just being another alternative platform for programming? It used to not matter whether, you know, there was a time where it mattered whether a show was on cable versus broadcast, and that line was obliterated years ago. And are we heading toward the same thing with internet versus TV?
Well, we're kind of already there. I mean, when you look at Netflix and Amazon, so some of the great stuff that Amazon's doing coming up this fall looks fantastic, and Hulu does a bunch of stuff, and so now Yahoo's coming on board, and they're saving shows, and they're going to do some originals as well. So we're already there.
Are you a fan of Community, personally?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Community.
No, he hates it, but
yeah, exactly.
Keeps getting dragged.
I tolerate it.
Hey, I interview a lot of people I'm not a fan of, by the way. I didn't know what the case, because I'm asking you creatively, do you think it deserves a 6th season? Take the money and the business out of it. Do you feel like there's still a viable story there?
I think there's enough there. I mean, there's enough bad TV out there that even a weak Community episode is probably better than most comedies on TV. So I'm fine with it coming back, and I'm kind of excited to see what they do now on Yahoo, if they're sort of now unleashed to do things that they couldn't do before. Although this show has already experimented so much and done so many weird things that don't know what else they could do.
Once they did the G.I. Joe episode, I realized that they're smoking something.
Yeah, that one was a little polarizing, but it's still a good show, and their clarion call, the hashtag 6 seasons in a movie, you kind of want to now see them to actually do a movie now that they've done 6 seasons.
I should back up a step, because you're moderating this panel, which is going to be this afternoon from 2:15 in Ballroom 20. But people can't just show up for that. This is all ticketed ahead of time, right? Or
well,
no?
They can line up. So
anyone can come to your panel.
Yeah, you can line up outside Ballroom 20 and show up and see it. And Joel McHale is going to be there, and Gillian Jacobs is going to be there. Yes,
Chevy Chase, I'm sure.
I just saw you have the bell right here next to your microphone.
He does. Yeah.
Of course, can't travel without it. What else are you doing, Michael, here at Comic-Con?
So I'm doing a bunch of panels. I'm doing the Blacklist panel.
Oh.
So, yeah, Spader's going to be here, and that's going to be fantastic.
How crazy was it that James Spader was not nominated for an Emmy?
That was wrong.
To me, that was just a shoo-in.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple of things that were wrong. I think we talked about how Orphan Black wasn't.
Orphan Black.
Yeah, that was another disappointment. But, yeah, Spader should have been on that
list.
He
just plays that role so brilliantly, and he knows so much more than everybody else, and he laughs at every inappropriate time.
Yeah.
That's just great.
Well, some of the great lines they give him, too.
He's got a tremendous vulnerability and sensitivity in that role too, which you don't see in a lot of arch villains on television. Usually they're sort of bad guys and they're sort of flat, but he's got a lot of depth to him.
Well, they're just now starting to unpeel that sort of dark backstory.
Yeah. Right?
And you know, it's sort of you know, tragic what happened to him. Yeah. So I can't wait to see more.
When you do a panel like Blacklist, do you think you're going to be able to get anything out of them, or is this the place, if they're going to reveal something, they're going to reveal it at Comic-Con, or are they still going to kind of keep their keep their cards close?
Hopefully they'll reveal some. You know, the idea is maybe, you know, give a few Easter eggs for the fans to sort of nibble on it, and sometimes they'll have some footage that they can show now because they've already started shooting in some cases. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Blacklist, but they'll be able to, you know, they've already written a bunch of scripts for next season, so they'll be able to tease some stuff.
Do you craft questions to try and get them to ruin it?
That's the plan, right?
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
You want to make some news, right?
Exactly.
Now, will you talk Ultron at all with James Spader since you've got him there?
You know, you want to kind of keep it to the actual show. You want to talk it to the panel, keep it to the panel. So.
Right, but we're at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So Ultron. I'm just saying.
All right.
It's not a stretch.
He won't be surprised if you bring up Ultron, that's for sure.
No, that's a good point.
This is the voice of Michael Schneider, our friend who's the LA Bureau Chief from TV Guide Magazine. You guys have very comprehensive Comic-Con coverage, obviously, at TVGuide.com.
Yeah.
What else are you doing besides Community and Blacklist?
So Resurrection, the ABC show that was on this spring. It's coming back for a second season in the fall. So there's a lot of mystery going on in that show, the undead coming back. So we've got a panel actually on Friday for that. And then Constantine, the new DC Comics show that's coming to NBC this fall. We're going to screen the pilot, and then there'll be a time for a little Q&A.
I can't wait for Constantine. That is one of the comic...
I don't know that one.
It's a comic book series based on a very popular series called Hellraiser. Not Hellraiser.
No, Hellraiser. You're
Hellraiser,
right.
Yeah. And he was a character in Swamp Thing initially, and has got sort of a cult following of his own, and a lot of hardcore comic book fans are waiting to see this.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and it looks good. Yeah, yeah. So it's a nice cross-section. And then we have a little yacht behind the convention center, the TV Guide Magazine yacht.
Sure, of course you do. Of course you do, Michael.
We've
got the K-Rock yacht. No. Yeah, we do, yeah. You didn't see it? It's down there?
I thought it was a canoe.
Oh, it's like a dinghy, yeah. It's like a K-Rock dinghy.
What goes on the TV Guide yacht?
And how can we get invited?
Well, we take photos of celebrities, so you know, you guys are borderline.
No, please.
We take photos, we do interviews. It's we're working here. We're working. We're on a boat, but we're working.
Sure.
So, and we have an open bar, so
Yeah, we're working too, but you know what that means.
I think Ralph actually could stop on by. So
hey, look at that.
I'm a
pseudo celebrity. You know what? I'll throw you guys peanuts from the yacht. You guys can stand there on the wharf.
We have to catch them in our mouths.
You can catch them in your mouth. Yeah,
I would pay to see that.
I have to tell you though, although we mock Ralph and his love of Comic-Con over the years, I think Ralph is hosting the coolest panel of the whole weekend. I really do. Which is your Batman 66 panel.
It's a pretty big deal.
The fact that you're on stage with, well, tell him.
Yeah, I'm. It's happening this afternoon. We are announcing, and for the first time, sort of debuting the boxed set of DVD and Blu-ray versions of the complete uncut Batman TV show from 1966. Hard to believe this has never been available on any sort of home entertainment before. No VHS, no DVD, nothing.
I'm pretty sure the very first time we met Ralph, he started complaining about that. The very first day.
Well, it's unheard of. It's one of the few remaining classic TV shows that no one's been able to have on their own.
And now here we are.
They've remastered it. They've put in a beautiful box set, and we're going to have Adam West and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar, TV's Catwoman, all up on stage when we unveil the thing.
This is like Ralph has now climbed Everest.
It really is.
What is the next challenge beyond
There's
this?
Nothing. I just lay down and just die.
Michael, they don't make any of these awesome panels that go on at Comic-Con available otherwise. They're not online. They don't release them, right?
You know, some actually do end up online. It's spotty, and it depends a lot of times on the network or the studio. NBC's been pretty good, actually, in posting their Comic-Con panels immediately in the days after. So, for example, I think you'll be able to see Blacklist on NBC.com and the Constantine panel maybe in the coming days or weeks after Comic-Con.
Michael Snyder is our guest here on The Kevin and Bean Show, LA Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine. You can follow him on Twitter at TVGMShneider or at Franklin Avenue. Quick break. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
106.
Hey!
Ouch.
See?
No?
We got to get together on that.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't think that song deserves a hey.
Yeah, in retrospect, I think you're right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin DeBean Show. It is 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We are live from Comic-Con in San Diego. Michael Snyder, our guest from TV Guide magazine, with us.
We talked
a few minutes ago about the very busy weekend he has. A lot of panels and whatnot he's been doing. TVGuide.com is where you're going to go for all the updates from San Diego. But there's a couple other things we didn't get a chance to talk about yet, Michael, that people are buzzing about. What's The Simpsons got going on down here this year as they prepare to go on the air with their 26th season? Is that right?
Yeah, they've got something called the Homer Dome down here, and they're kind of celebrating the launch of their new app, Simpsons World, which is coming out, which I've seen a demo of, and it really is going to end productivity in America. All 550 episodes are on this app. You can actually go in and find a specific scene. You can find a line. So whenever anything
That's
happens
awesome.
In the world, you know, the Simpsons is now commenting on everything that could ever happen in the
right.
world. So we always want sort of an analogy between something that happened on The Simpsons in real life. So now you'll be able to search the database and find anything that has anything to do with The Simpsons. The creator
that sounds
the,
so cool.
So get this. The creator of The Simpsons I was talking to the other day, he mentioned that they even predicted Germany and Argentina World Cup.
You mean it was one of the many?
15 years ago, they had an episode where Germany and Argentina were playing in the World Cup. According to Al Jean, one of the executive producers of The Simpsons.
He's lying to you.
So maybe he was, but I love the fact that they have even things like that you can now find. So they're celebrating that. You know, they're going to air all 550 episodes on FXX over from August into Labor Day. So
it's
so
the longest television marathon in TV history, right?
So they're making a big deal about that.
That's a lot of Simpsons.
We get the big crossover this season, finally.
Yeah, with Family Guy. Yeah.
Peter Griffin meets Homer Simpson.
Yeah, and actually here at Comic-Con, they're going to show a big, I think, about 5 minutes of that episode.
Yeah.
So
wow.
people at that Very panel cool. will be able to see much more.
It's so funny to think The Simpsons is one of those shows that most people who listen to our show do not know about living in a world without The Simpsons. It's been on their whole lives.
Yeah. I mean, it started in 89.
Will it go on for, I mean, what's the future of The Simpsons? How's it doing in the ratings?
It still does well. I mean, it could continue in perpetuity until the voice actors actually decide they don't want to do it anymore. I think that's the only thing that will stop the show from continuing.
With the money they're making, they're never going to want to stop doing it.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous the amount of money they make.
Ralph, you're standing by in case, God bless Dan Castellaneta, but if he goes down, you're standing by, right?
Oh, I hope he gets sick soon.
The backup, nice.
But we talk about how Comic-Con gets bigger every year, Michael, and more puzzling things end up on stage. For instance, you told us off-air that Betty White appears on a panel this year. Now, Betty White and Comic-Con don't automatically go hand-in-hand in my mind.
Yeah, not quite, but she and William Shatner are actually doing a panel called Legends of TV Land that TV Land is doing, I think on Thursday, actually, today. So that's a little unusual, but there's always one or two weird panels that really have nothing to do with Comic-Con. But everyone's down here. This is such a marketing opportunity.
What kind of questions will they get? I mean, that's a strange panel.
Yeah.
Like, you talk to them about a show they were on 30 years ago?
Well, you know, she's on that Hot in Cleveland show.
Is that a show, really?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. But it is fascinating to see Betty White at Comic-Con.
Sure.
So maybe get a photo of her with a stormtrooper or something.
I mean, I guess you're right. I guess you might as well go to where the people are and where the international media are, right? So if you're TV Land, what do you have to lose by
that? Yeah, and everyone these days with social media, they're tweeting everything out. They're taking photos. So it's a good marketing opportunity. It's viral.
All right, we're out of time, Michael, I'm sorry to say. We want people to go to TVGuide.com, but tell them why.
So, the big stuff is our community panel today, Thursday, at 2:15 in Ballroom 20. So, and we've also got a fan favorites panel on Saturday at noon in Ballroom 20. We've got starts from Supernatural, Orphan Black, Outlander, Sleepy Hollow, Once Upon a Time. It's going to be a great all-star panel, so go check that out. Yeah.
Have yourself a great weekend, and thanks for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us in about 20 minutes or so. We are right here at the San Diego Comic-Con at the Hard Rock Hotel if you want to stop by. Don't forget, new K-Rock summer sticker available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You can put it on your car, enter to win a 2014 Dodge Challenger, trip to see the Black Keys anywhere in North America, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. And our man Beer Mug is going to be out again today between 1 and 3 o'clock at the Hot Topic in West Covina. Go on by. He's got Bastille tickets, the 1975, A Day to Remember, so much more. Get your details at KROQ.com.
If you want any of that stuff, bring him food. He will always prefer you over everybody else because he does like to eat.
It's a good point.
Let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel going on the Snoop Dogg show. First of all, the Snoop Dogg show.
How is that a thing? And by the way, Kevin said that right. This isn't Snoop Dogg on Jimmy Kimmel's show. This is Jimmy Kimmel being interviewed by Snoop Dogg on Snoop's internet show.
And the very first clip that we want to play for you right now, and by the way, the video is up at the website, Dave?
Yep.
At the website, krock.com on Kevin and Bean or just kevinandbean.com. They talk about knowing each other for quite some time.
We have known each other for a long
time.
That's
what I was about to say, man, from the days of Crank Yankers, the days of the man show, all of
even before that when I was on the radio at K-Rock.
Yes, yes, with Bean, Kevin and Bean and all of them back in the days.
That was a long time ago.
Damn.
It was one of the characters I did on the show was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call in, I go, you know what I'm saying? And that was the extent of my imitation.
That wasn't the extent of his invitation, but I'm sure he didn't want to do the whole thing for Snoop.
Right.
Snoop is the coolest person on earth?
Yes.
Would you say?
Yes.
And Jimmy's talking about the rules that are in place at ABC for people who want to smoke pot.
Yeah, they don't let you smoke pot on ABC. It's a real...
No,
just, I don't know. They'll come around.
They will sooner or later because the whole world is doing it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Legalize it and I'll advertise it.
This is the real happiest place on earth.
It really is, man. Doggy land. Come on in.
Jimmy, despite my advice and Bean's advice, I think we probably told him between the two of us 100 times, don't tell anyone that you play the clarinet.
I play the clarinet.
There are some things you should just keep for yourself.
I play the clarinet.
Let's hear that clip now.
That's like a flute, the cousin of a flute.
It's closer to a saxophone, yeah. It's long, thin, and black, just like you.
That may need to be my nickname, clarinet. Yeah, bitch, call me clarinet.
They call the clarinet the licorice stick.
For real?
Yeah.
The black licorice?
Yeah.
That black licorice is nasty, cuz.
You don't like the black, huh?
Hell no, that's nasty. Ugh.
Oh, that's the end of that clip.
You do get the impression that this is what it's like when they're not on mic or on camera, when it's just Jimmy and Snoop just hanging out getting high. These are the kind of conversations they have as they start debating what kinds of licorice taste best.
And they're good enough friends that Jimmy can actually finish his sentence.
I look for blank in a woman.
Holes.
First time answer. And that's a... Great answer right there. What the Family Feud survey says, that's that s***.
Snoop loved that. And then they talk about the competition that Jimmy is currently up against.
What's your competition right now? Is it
David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon.
And Jay Leno, where are you at?
Jay Leno passed away.
For real? F***ed up.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. Who inherited his cars?
I'm not positive Snoop knew he was kidding at all ever.
I don't think he did.
Not the entire time.
Snoop does not seem like a guy who's trying very hard to stay current. So I think Jimmy could tell him anything and he'd buy it.
Snoop does remember some of the stuff that Jimmy did in the old days though. And he wants to know why Jimmy has not brought Adam Carolla with him on this journey.
Jimmy, what about you and Adam getting back together again?
Well, Adam does a podcast and he's writing books now and he's doing pretty well. But I want no part of him.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Because y'all don't do what black folks do. Like, see how you getting successful and he's still kind of like in the background. Like, we'd get mad if it was two of us. Like that motherfucker ain't Jimmy Kimmel, that bitch ass motherfucker. He left me behind. He could have had me as his sidekick. He got that little motherfucker doing security for him. I could have been a security dude.
Adam doesn't think that way.
I know. He doesn't have any black... What would you
this?
Call it? Yeah. But I love Adam, too. Adam is my man. He got that show where it's based on the love, right?
He used to do Loveline, yeah.
That's the he used to do, right? What was he like, a psychiatrist for sex? Is that what he was?
I don't know. He does a lot of masturbating. I know that. I don't know what his credentials are otherwise. Yeah, people would call with their problems, and he'd make fun of them.
that's what he would do. He was a f***ed up counselor.
It was him and Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Drew got big. That's f***ed up, Adam. Everybody you f*** with then blew up, cuz, and you still... Adam. Adam, you know what? We're going to hire you at the GGN. We sick of this shit.
That's nice. That's the way to do it.
You know what I love about that is that Snoop has no idea that Adam Carolla doesn't just have a podcast. He has the biggest podcast in the world. He's written 3 New York Times bestseller lists. He's got a show on the air. He's got a second movie coming out.
Snoop's current information is about 15 years old. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin DeBeat Show at 7:53 from San Diego for the Comic-Con.
Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, who's joining us right after the top of the hour, he was just having an off-mic conversation with Ralph, rather, that ended with these words, Ralph saying to Robert Kirkman, "Well, screw you."
Yeah, that happened.
I don't know if that's a great setup for the interview that we're about to do with the man in a couple of minutes.
What an ass. We're going to throw down.
I did try to shake his hand, and he would not.
Yeah,
so I noticed that.
It's getting off to a very contentious start.
I think we could take him.
I'm just saying. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning from San Diego. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Comic-Con weekend, and I want to share a little of the Comic-Con love with you. One of my favorite booths every year is the Mattel booth. This is your chance to see all the new cool merch that Mattel is putting out.
Right.
In the upcoming year.
Seth Green has already bought?
Yeah, really. He was there last night, I'm sure, picking up everything. But last year I was there when they unveiled the Batman 66 figures.
Right.
The Adam West figures, the 6-inch figures that they released and now everyone owns, including Surfing Batman, which is the best action figure ever.
Surfing Batman.
Yes.
I am terrified to imagine what Ralph is doing with a 6-inch version of Adam West.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, they got Batgirls revealed this year at the booth. They've got Batgirl there. They've got Surfing Joker.
Is it in your butt?
It's not in my butt.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to share some of the Mattel love with you by giving you a Mattel prize pack. These are all Comic-Con exclusives, things you can only get down here. Well, except for me, for you there. Here's what you get. You get a Masters of the Universe exclusive figure, Goatman. Remember Goatman from Masters of the Universe?
Oh, Goatman.
Sure.
My favorite.
Goatman's the best.
I can't even look at you guys when I'm talking about this. I just see these dead eyes staring back at me.
He or she is hilarious.
Goatman, we love.
Hordak, of course. The classic Hordak.
Hordak.
And then my favorite is the DC classic TV series Batman Utility Belt.
Utility Belt. That's what I was going to say.
No, you weren't. What does it come with? What's the utility belt come with?
Utilities. It'll be ridiculous.
Yeah, it comes with water and power.
Right.
No, it comes with a Batarang. You get a Batarang as well.
Obviously.
This is a hard-to-get item, and it's one of my favorite pieces of my new collection.
Are you going to give it away, or are you going to pilfer it before?
I'm going to pilfer it. No, I already have one. I've got mine.
All right.
So if you'd like to win the Mattel prize pack, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 6. Let's make it caller number 6, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 6 will get the Mattel prize pack. Thanks to the good people at Mattel Toys who do good things. All right. Showbiz news. Naya Rivera was seen getting very cozy with an actor named Ryan Dorsey in Cabo San Lucas this week. Everybody said, didn't she just break up with her fiancé, Big Sean, the rapper, and she's already moved on to another guy? Well, they didn't know the half of it. Those two are on their honeymoon in Cabo. They got married last Saturday in a secret ceremony down in Mexico. She just ended her engagement to Big Sean in April, and now she's married.
I heard that he broke up with her, too.
That's what I heard as well.
Which makes it very different than if she had broken up with him and then moved on.
You know, what's even weirder is they got married on July the 19th, which was her original wedding date with Big Sean. So I'm guessing she just had the room booked and she figured she was going
to... She just needed to find a guy?
If it wasn't this guy, it would have been like a waiter or something. She just would have picked somebody and married him.
Now, I know you guys mocked me when we talked about this earlier, but here's my new theory. My new theory is the hardest thing about an engagement breaking down ahead of the wedding is the embarrassing call you've got to make to all of your guests going, wow,
yeah, you're,
we suck.
You're free that weekend now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So instead, this way, she keeps the wedding plans. People can still show up. People can still come do the thing.
Well, that's a good reason to marry someone.
You understand that's a very, very distant second to it's the right person to marry.
Yeah, but you want to get out of all that awkward conversation about why aren't you getting married? I thought you were getting married. Hey, what happened to you getting married? Now she's getting married. Boom. Done. Everybody's happy.
And when they go up and congratulate the groom and say, hey, Big Sean, congratulations. I'm very happy
really
for you.
Happy for you
she
too.
Has to say, no, that's not. This is a different one.
What? You're marrying a different person?
They've been friends for 4 years, reportedly, and now apparently their relationship has blossomed into marriage.
I think it's going to last forever. I think that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Simon Cowell has issued a statement saying he's not gay.
Okay.
Apparently there was a court proceeding there in the UK where a record executive testified in court that Simon Cowell was gay. I don't know how that would come up in a court case.
Why would that be relevant in any way?
I don't know, unless it was some sort of civil sodomy suit.
And by the way, it's not. It doesn't seem like it would be actionable or libelous to call someone gay either.
I don't think so. But Simon just wants to set the record straight, and he says,
He is straight.
Hasn't he been with a bunch of women and then he impregnated another one?
He knocks his friends' wives. Right. He knocks them up. I don't think there was much question
about that.
Except for the deep V-neck T-shirts that he wears.
That are too tight.
We're all very sure that he's straight.
That is suspect.
So no worry to... And speaking of Comic-Con, of course, Mark Ruffalo, one of the stars of the upcoming Avengers 2 movie, Age of Ultron. He got his wallet back after losing it in a Chicago taxi last week.
I've done that.
Yeah, well, but he's like a responsible adult.
Yeah, true.
He lost his wallet, and a guy named Ross McHale found his ID in there and Googled him and found out who he was and then went on Twitter and posted a tweet saying, @MarkRuffalo, I found your wallet. DM me if you want to get it back. And they worked it out. So this guy returned his money and his wallet and his credit cards and everything else. But when he saw the ID, he had no idea who the guy was until he Googled him. Yeah.
That's an amazing length to go to for somebody that's just trying to be nice.
Guy went well out of his way to hunt him down and get his wallet back. And Ruffalo has just been singing his praises on Twitter saying, chalk one up for nice people. It
Humans
exists.
Aren't all like me.
No.
That's so good news.
Mark Ruffalo said, I would even give up my seat for the husband of a pregnant woman.
Did he say that?
He did say that, yeah.
I would I'd do what I could to return somebody's wallet.
Would
to,
you Google
to
him and then go on Twitter?
No.
I don't think I would.
I don't know. I think I might.
No,
okay, then
wouldn't.
I would
no,
too.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't move a foot for a person.
You're going to go on Google and go out of your way to return somebody's wallet?
I like the intrigue and the mystery of pulling that off.
If it was a dog's wallet, maybe you would do it, but not for a human.
And you'd have Marty do it.
That's right.
You'd put him on the job.
Have your manslave do it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Lopez is 45 years old today. Laura Layton is 46. Anna Paquin's 32. Rose Byrne is 35. Gallagher. Remember the guy who used to hit watermelons with a sledgehammer?
Sure.
He's 68 years old today.
68?
Yeah. Summer Glau is 33. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men is 32. The original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, 63 years old today. She still looks great, by the way. You know, with all those birthdays, it's funny that I got Jennifer Lopez in there because that was a stacked list of birthdays.
It did seem like more than usual.
There were a lot of birthdays. Yeah. A lot of people born today, a lot of celebrities. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to fit her into that list or not.
Right. Uh-huh.
But it turns out... When it comes to Jennifer Lopez,
right,
almost on any list,
yes,
I think you sort of have to go out of your way.
And, however,
there's always room for J-Lo.
Oh, stop it.
Thank you so much.
All of you, stop
it. Yes, the studio audience is applauding that.
Please.
They love to hear a little J-Lo.
They get a rare, there's always a room for J-Lo in person,
though.
They don't
right.
get a chance to see that magic work real.
On a side note,
live J-Lo.
Did you say she was 48?
45 years
45?
Old.
She looks good.
She's a spectacular 45, yeah.
That's my input. That's all I got.
All right, thanks for that, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is...
Could I talk
what?
Closer? Hey,
what
hey.
Happened? Why do you sound so bad all of a sudden? We've been fine all day.
What do you got, a Mr. Microphone there?
I don't know
there?
What's happening.
Okay, that's better.
106.7.
Back off, man. Back off.
K-Rock. It's KROQ and Kevin and Bean.
We are live at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego, floor 2. Tenacious D in 1 hour right now. Robert Kirkman, creator, executive producer, and writer from The Walking Dead. Hit it, Steve. Hey, Mr. Kirkman. Welcome, sir.
Can I just wait an hour and be here with Tenacious D? That sounds more fun.
Sure. Sitting with the D. Why not? How you doing? Happy Comic-Con to you.
Oh,
do you look forward to this weekend, or do you dread it because it's insanely busy for y'all?
I mean, it's a mixture of both. It's definitely a lot of fun, but I don't know. I got up in my hotel room this morning, and I looked out the window, and it was just like a line of a billion people backed around the convention center, and I was like... Yeah, that's a bit much.
Be honest. What was your first thought when it struck you that you had to do the Kevin and Bean show at this time of the day? Your first show.
I feel like I did it earlier last year, so I was actually like 8 a.m. Piece of cake.
Hey, nice.
You did it earlier, and I think you were really hungover last year too.
I don't drink, so I wasn't hungover.
Yeah, that's not possible. Okay.
But I probably didn't sleep
Sleepy,
much.
Maybe
yeah. that's what it was.
Because I'm usually a wreck by like day two.
How are you, just in general, with the success of your books and with the TV show, and being a celebrity now and recognizable? How are you with people, with being famous now? Because let's face it, you toiled for a lot of years where only the hardcore people knew who you were. Now
sure.
everybody recognizes you.
Well, now I despise anyone who wasn't the hardcore people that caught on
okay.
early, and I try to be mean to people in general when I meet them just because it amuses me. So no, I mean, I don't know. It's fine.
Some people don't like being recognized. They would rather, you know, they want the work to be appreciated, but they don't want to be recognizable and be famous and deal with all that comes with that.
Well, my thing is I would like to be able to pick my nose in public without worrying about it showing up on Twitter. Like, hey, I saw Robert Kirkman and that dude was totally picking his nose. It was really gross.
I'd put
like
that
every
up.
Now and then I got to get something up there. You know? And I don't want to have to worry about people seeing that.
Sometimes some mining needs to be done.
Can't I be a stranger picking my nose? That's all I want.
Not down here, you can't. Maybe in normal life, but not down here.
But down here, he could have someone pick it for him.
That's true.
That's the kind of clout he has at Comic-Con.
There you go. Season 5
of Walking... picking assistant.
I got to get on Craigslist. Is that what you do on Craigslist?
Yeah,
you look for people to pick your nose?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Single white male needs picker.
Just come over to my house. We'll have a pick party. It'll be great.
Season 5 returns of The Walking Dead on AMC this October, but that's going to be here in a minute. You guys are already working on the show. You've already filmed a bunch of episodes. What are you doing down here at Comic-Con? What are you presenting or showing us, or what are we going to learn? What are we going to know?
Well, we got a big panel tomorrow, and we're going to be debuting a new trailer for our fifth season.
Fantastic.
Showing a lot of the old stuff that we're doing so that people can see what to expect. And I got to say, it's going to be pretty awesome.
Just enough so that nobody gets any clue as to what's going to happen, though, right?
There's going to be a lot of clues, but they're definitely, I love trailers because, you can deliberately edit them in a way that
right.
It's like, I saw so much, you didn't see anything at all.
Right.
So it's really cool, and there's a lot that we show, but it's all out of context. So you're like, why is that car flipping over? I don't understand.
Who's going to be at the panel?
Everybody.
Every single
person.
Don't
make me list them. Like
Andrew
15
Lincoln?
Actors. Andrew's there.
How about that?
Norman's there. Lauren Cohan. Stephen Young.
Love it.
Wow.
Chad Coleman, tons of people.
Fantastic.
Denai Guerrero? I can go on for hours.
Well, we don't need you, Chad.
This is called good radio.
That's probably enough.
Can I just list names?
I'd rather you didn't.
All right.
It's concerned.
IMDb radio.
We are concerned that one of the things that we heard is going on down here this weekend are words that I don't want to see together, and they are Walking Dead and barbecue.
Yeah.
Well. Now, who are you gonna sucker into eating anything that you people put out, knowing what The Walking Dead is all about?
Sometimes I question AMC's publicity department, but yeah. I got to say, I get behind the barbecue thing. I think
just full-on soylent green, is that what we're going to be eating?
We're not going to be talking about what the meat is. The best thing about barbecue is that it's cooked for a long time, and they put a lot of sauce on it. It could be a bunch of feet, for all we know. Still going to taste good.
A feet barbecue.
Yeah.
Not only that, you have to earn it.
Earlier Craigslist listing.
What?
Does anyone have extra feet they don't want?
Come over, let's barbecue your
feet.
We're
trying to barbecue feet. We need more. You have to earn it?
Please come to the Terminus Barbecue. It's really not feet.
Yeah,
I have to say that for legal reasons.
Okay, it's not feet.
Yeah.
But you're not telling us what it is.
No, but it's definitely not feet.
All right.
It might be something of a beak nature. But,
a beak?
Yeah, it could be beaks. But it's not
feet. How do you mean you have to earn it? What are you saying, Kevin?
You have to tweet a picture. Where is it? Do you know the information?
Yes. Don't quiz me.
No.
Okay. Here's what it says. Limited to the first 200 people
there
who show up at the pickup location. You must be 21 and over. Tweet a selfie in front of the Terminus map using the hashtag tweet to eat. That's what you do.
Tweet
and then,
to eat and we'll cook your feet.
Yeah. I guess so.
And beak.
And then I guess you get a wristband or something like that, and you get to go to the Walking Dead barbecue.
Right? So it sounds like a lot of work. Yeah. It better be good barbecue.
That's a lot of work. Yes. That's a lot of work for feet.
Right?
Now, if it was ass, if it was barbecued ass, I'd do that, but not for feet.
We'd all do that.
A lot of people, people try to guess where the show is going, and even if you've read the comic book, the TV often, diverges from that. And a lot of people, when they saw Terminus and saw what was going on and the, all the people sitting around cooking and stuff, everybody was saying it's got to be cannibals, must be cannibals. Which, to me, that tie into this barbecue serving humans, it sounds too neat and tidy to me.
It definitely seems to telegraph things a little bit,
right?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't it?
But maybe,
yes.
Maybe we're going to swerve. Or maybe we're not going to swerve, and that's how we get you.
See?
You're like, I figured they were going to swerve, but they are cannibals. What happened? I don't understand. Up is down. Left is right. I don't know what to do.
You can't outthink Robert Kirkman.
That's right.
Season 6 picks up seconds after Season 5 ended, right?
It's yes. There's continuation. Still yes. We pick up in the train car.
Train car's a bad deal.
Yeah. You ever been locked in a train car? That's no fun.
No. I can honestly say I've never been locked in a train car. Have you?
I can only imagine. Okay.
Yeah, Robert used to ride the rails, Kevin. He was a hobo
for
years.
He said it's no fun. So I don't know. It sounded like maybe he had done it. I don't know where you got that from. Yeah, that seems all bad. That whole
thing. I've been in the one on set, but it's not real.
Right.
I know there's tea in the corner.
and you
show that.
And you run the show so you can get out when you want.
Well, you don't know, but you never know.
You hope.
Yeah. The Walking Dead at San Diego Comic-Con. You can get all the information, I assume, at thewalkingdead.com for people who are coming down, right?
Yeah, they got all that stuff up there.
We have many more questions about many more things when we return. You going to yell at us, or are we cool?
I'm cool.
Depends on what happens during the commercials.
You can never tell. It's a razor's edge, us getting along with this guest. We'll be right back. You're on
Wait, what? What'd I do?
Robert Kirkman sitting with us here at the Hard Rock Hotel, San Diego. It's this year's Comic-Con appearance. Hi, Mr. Kirkman. How you doing? You holding up okay?
I'm holding up well.
You all right? This is early. If we saw you like 2 days from now, you'd just be like a little puddle, right?
Yeah, I would. I would have a manly voice as opposed to this.
You know what's funny about Robert is you would think a guy who comes up with what he comes up with would be rather dour, sort of serious. You know what I mean? Like The Walking Dead, which is one of our favorite shows, is effed up,
right?
And he's just the happiest guy. He's got a great sense of humor. You just would never expect that.
It's all bubbling under the surface.
Yeah. Are you about to kill us?
Walking Dead's a comedy. You don't know that.
It's a comedy?
Yes, it's just the world's worst executed comedy series ever. It's the world's worst sitcom.
I have to go back
really
and start over.
It's supposed to be funny. I don't know why you guys don't appreciate it for what it is.
Everyone associated with it is so inept that it doesn't come through on the other end.
Right, yes.
You also have a couple of other things going on here at Comic-Con, including your new book that we just had John a few weeks ago to talk about, Outcast, which is out now. What are you up to now? Issue two or three?
Issue two will be out next week.
Okay.
So, it's been a month since we talked, when issue one came out.
And that's going to TV as well, right?
Yeah, we're working on that with Fox International, the people that handle the international distribution on Walking Dead. And we've partnered with Cinemax to get that made. And we're hoping to have a pretty cool announcement about that very soon, possibly at this convention. But I'm not going to telegraph anything. You never know.
You're at a stage now, Robert, where you could sneeze into a tissue and they'd make a series out of it.
I wish that were true.
It is true.
Because I would just walk around sneezing in tissues all day long.
Would you test that for us? Just try it once?
I'll put a bet on it.
Whatever you create from this point on, people will automatically be interested in developing it into something else. That's a nice place.
I don't know, man. I've done a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, they would at least look at it. They would at least give you the courtesy.
You can get a meeting now. Yeah,
maybe not in America. In Europe or something. It'll be developed someplace. In Germany, maybe.
We had you on right before Outcast Book 1 was getting ready to come out. We talked a little bit about the premise of that, which involves demonic possession. Uh-huh. What kinds of responses have you had now that it's been out and people have been seeing it? Because I know you're very active online with your fans. Have you been hearing possession stories?
You know, I haven't gotten that yet. I was actually hoping that I would start getting email with like, oh, yeah, I experienced this, I experienced that. We got a couple of vague emails. Like, oh, yeah, I dealt with a little bit of this kind of stuff in my childhood, and I wanted to write them back and be like, tell me more. What are you doing? Come on.
Give me some more details.
But no, I'm hoping that happens eventually. But, you know, we're very early on in the process. Right. So people haven't, like, seen that we have a letters column in the back where we can actually, like, talk to fans and print their letters and stuff. And I think as people become more aware of that stuff, then we'll start to get that. But I am getting a lot of tweets of, like, hey, you gave me nightmares, which is, you know, great.
That's your job,
sure,
right?
Nightmares. Sure.
What about Air, Robert?
Air. Yeah, that's a movie that I'm producing that'll be out sometime next year that stars Norman Reedus and Jaimin Hanzu. It's directed by a guy named Christian Contamesa, who I think is going to be a huge director. And we're debuting a trailer at the Skybound panel on Saturday.
Here at
Comic-Con.
Do you have a staff of hundreds? How do you get all this done? Aren't you busy?
Not hundreds, but, you know, I'm not doing all this stuff myself. I'm an idiot.
Like 50? You have like 50 people that just carry stuff out for you?
I'll say 55.
All right.
55. That's
55.
A good
55. All right.
Sure.
What's your process as a writer, Robert? Do you set like hours for yourself? Do you make it like a work day? You have to get up and you start writing at a certain time. You put in a certain amount of hours to your work and then you get the rest of the day off? Or do you wait till you're inspired and then you sit down and you work? What's your process?
No. I mean, I pride myself on trying to take a blue collar approach to my work. I mean, I have a wife and kids and, you know, I really like seeing them. And if you don't manage your time properly, like you could work 24 hours a day on, you know, writing and stuff. So I try to keep banker's hours, but every now and then after the kids go to bed, I'll sneak off and, you know, get a little bit of typing done. But for the most part, I work from 9 to 5.
Do you ever type stuff late at night and then the next morning you look at it and go, no, I don't know what I was thinking.
No, I revise nothing. That's how I get things done.
Everything's first draft.
There you go. You like that? We'll make the next one better. Moving on.
Ralph brought up the expectations that people have from you now and the excitement of every new word that you type. Has that changed the process for you at all, knowing that there are a lot of people out there kind of hanging on every word as opposed to before when you were kind of releasing it a little bit more into a void?
A void. No one was reading Robert's works?
I don't know. I try to maintain this indifference towards everything that I do, like personally. You know, like I create a thing, I write a thing, I did it, it's done. It's good, it's not good. I don't know. I'm not objective of my own stuff. So from the very beginning of my career, I've always just been like, hope they like this one. Like that's been my attitude. And, you know, at home, my wife is always like, I don't really like what you do. Like this, I'm not reading that. Like it's not very.
Really?
So I have a very good system in place to keep me from becoming full of myself.
A hell of a support staff you've got there.
It's great. It's really. It sounds like I'm joking, but it is really good.
I don't like it. What you just finished.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Do something else.
Well, it's funny. I don't know if I talked about this on the show. So stop me if I'm repeating myself. But my wife would never read The Walking Dead comic. And then we do the show, and she's like, well, I'll watch the show.
So she watches the show but doesn't read the comic?
Yeah, it's like, the comic's my bread and butter. It's my heart and soul. Like, what are you doing? I don't really like reading comics.
So the key to success is surround yourself with people who don't care that much for you.
Oh, it's great. I like it's so great.
Well, Ralph, you're on the way.
How dare you,
I'm
sir.
I'm just saying. What about this? Because there's such a passionate fan base for both the comic book and the TV show. You hear from everybody about the plot direction, about the choices that you make. You just laugh it off, don't care? Or has there ever been a time where that somebody has suggested something where you thought, hey, good idea?
Even if that were to happen, which I guess it's happened a couple of times where I've been like, man, I wish we had done that. We're usually so far ahead. You know, like I'm saying, like right now we're filming the 7th episode of season 5. By the time season 5 airs, we'll be on like the 12th, 13th episode out of 16. Before the first half of season 5 airs, we'll be done with season 5. Mm-hmm. So when people are watching an episode and going, you should do this, you should do that, it's like, where were you 8 months ago?
Right.
Like, come on. But
so they should guess what's going to be happening a year from now and then give you suggestions.
That would be useful.
Okay.
All right. That would be very helpful. I would appreciate that.
All right. Do you ever run into anyone as vehemently anti-Carl as Kevin, or is he number one?
I was going to ask the next season. Is Carl good?
I thought he died last season. What are you talking about?
Nope.
But no.
He's indestructible.
Is he good? Is he all good?
I got to say that.
I hope he's good. I'd hate to see anything happen to him.
You're doing reverse psychology on me right now.
Saying.
Is that what you're doing?
I'd like to see him live forever.
By the way, the theory
you
was...
love him now?
The theory was,
more than
Kevin.
More than anyone.
You have to get Chandler Riggs on the show.
We're trying, but
we'd like to.
I think he's heard that I don't like him.
You hate him.
The theory was that he would never get killed because he was a kid and it'd be too hard. Although you shot that through,
we kill kids every
You obliterated season. That because you with the kids last year. But
nobody kills more kids than Robert.
But now that Carl is practically an adult, he's on the cusp now of manhood. He's going to be fair game soon, right?
No. He's the John Connor of the mythology of this piece. He has to go on
to lead.
He's
going to lead. He's
going to lead the resistance,
hey,
man.
No one's safe, Ralph. No one's safe.
He's safe.
He could go at any moment.
He's safe. I'm telling you.
Wait. Don't you do that to me.
He could go at any moment, you're saying.
He could go at any moment.
The very first episode of the next season?
He could have died in the train car between seasons 4 and 5.
Okay. All right.
During a commercial break, he could be dead.
So there's still hope?
I'm starting to get mortified that Chandler actually listens to this.
Oh, no. No, it's not Chandler. It's the character.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I mean. What
no, it's great. It's great.
It's a dick.
But Carl is—he's a very important character, and I don't understand why you don't like him.
Because he eats
he's got, like, the
five
best
pounds,
hair on TV.
He eats 5 pounds of pudding.
What's not to like about that?
What's that goddamn hat?
It sounds like you, Kevin. You eat 5 pounds of pudding.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just jealous.
That's right. It's just
Carl
jealousy.
Gets more pudding than Kevin.
Maybe I see myself in him.
I was eating 5 pounds of pudding yesterday, but Carl's doing it today. I'm jealous.
But I think—I mean, forgive me if I'm way off on this, but I think we need Carl because we need some sort of baseline to understand how crazy his father is or not. We need someone to kind of keep him in check a little bit. Has Rick lost his humanity or not? And I think it's his son's job to kind of tell us that.
Well, it's that, but it's also – I really like the idea of, you know, Carl is a character that was very young when the zombie apocalypse happened. So more than any other character, he's going to very quickly forget the world from before and the rules of before. And so he becomes a very essential character to the ensemble because, you know, he's someone who's growing up in this world as opposed to growing up in the world before and having that stripped away from him. So, you know, he's going to have very different thought processes and very different ideas on things moving forward. And we're going to get to delve into that quite a bit.
Robert, you get a lot of response. Do you get anybody else besides me that wants to see Carl go?
Just let it go, Kevin.
I'm just asking if I'm the only one.
Carl,
if I'm the only one, maybe I should.
That's what I'm saying.
You're the most vocal. I hear it for every character sometimes.
Oh, you do.
Like, there's people that don't like, you know, there's like a couple haters for every character. But
well, those
you know,
people
Carl
are
is
wrong, but I'm
not.
Right. Those
sure.
people are completely wrong. But I think I'm right.
All
no?
Right. All right.
The spinoff is all about Carl.
It is, okay.
It's just like all
Carl,
about Carl.
Exclamation point. Can't wait.
It's called Carl's Killing Zombies.
I have some.
Hey, did you watch Carl's Killing Zombies last night? I heard he killed a bunch of zombies.
That's great.
I have
that feet barbecue scene was great.
Some great news for you, Mr. Kirkman.
Oh.
You're done.
Oh,
you're so happy right now.
It's just getting good.
You're so happy.
He's just warming up. Oh. Let's keep him.
Have
Can we keep him?
A wonderful.
He followed us home. Can we keep
Does
him?
Does he have questions for Dr. Drew?
I have things to do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have yourself a wonderful Comic-Con. We can't wait till October for season 6, The Return of the Walking Dead on AMC.
Awesome.
People can go and they can buy Outcast, and they should. When can people see Air, the new movie?
Spring of 2015.
Oh, just spring of 2015?
Yeah,
that's not terrible.
That's not terrible, I don't think.
They just announced Pirates of the Caribbean 5 for 2017, all right, so we're getting closer. Right, so it's better.
Talking next year, we're
Thanks
good.
For stopping by, man.
Are we going now?
We're on.
I wasn't paying attention.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Just a minute, Dave. It's the Kevin and Bean Show live from the San Diego Comic-Con. Thanks to the Kevin and Bean listeners who stopped by the way. We got a little bit of a crowd here at the Hard Rock Hotel. Maybe they're not here for us so much as Tenacious D joining us in about 20 minutes. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up. But first, though, Thursday means we check in with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN weeknights at 6. Hey, Doc. How you doing, man?
Hey, gentlemen. What's going on?
Why do you keep having Catherwood on your HLN show? All he does is go on there just to annoy the ladies on the panel.
That's why.
That's why. Thank you, Kevin. That's exactly why.
That's a good reason to do it.
That's right. Hey, I understand you guys are having a big controversy about how to sleep.
Well, Kevin, as you know, has been a notoriously terrible sleeper for the last half of his life. I mean, he is – what are you running on most nights? A couple of hours, Kevin?
Yeah, maybe three.
That is
3 hours.
Awful. That's terrible.
Yeah, I know. I'm not bragging, Dr. Drew. I'm just saying I have trouble sleeping. And then, so yesterday Dave told me, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to prop your feet up higher than your heart.
Well, first of all, one thing you want to do is always take medical advice from Dave.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, which I didn't want to do, so we wanted to make sure and bring it up to you. How on earth, he says, you don't have to sleep as long, but you'll have better sleep. Is there any truth to that at all?
Is Dave nearby? I want to hear what other magical wisdom he has. That's crazy.
Dave, where did you hear this, King?
I am not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. But
where did you hear this about your heart being lower than your feet makes better sleep?
You know what? I don't know. I read it on the internet or something like that.
Yes, he read
it on
the
internet.
But you
know what? I did try it, and this past week, I've been like Kevin and getting only 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And knowing that I have all these pillows, I put my feet up and I felt great in the morning. And I last a lot longer during the day.
So I last a lot longer. That's
you know what I mean?
I
don't get sleepy.
No, during the day, he said.
But Drew, say it. Say I'm right.
Say it, Drew.
Well,
for Kevin, because he's got back problems, it's probably a good idea because it relieves some of the tension on his back. So for him, putting pillows under his knees makes sense.
No, what do you mean, thank you? He's not talking to you,
he
Dave.
He just said yes. That's true.
No.
He said, yes, Dave,
no,
you're right.
Hold on. But I'm saying, why should the venous return to your heart have anything to do with your sleep at all?
That's my question.
The fact is, if you have leg edema and you need to correct the leg edema, sure, you put your legs up at night. But that's not a function of sleep hygiene. That's a function of overall vascular hygiene. And so the bottom line is, no, the fact it would sort of be undesirable because it can kind of be uncomfortable to have your head down lower than your feet. The fact is you want your head up a little bit. That adjusting your pillows up under your head and around your neck can be actually a very important part of sleep, not into your feet.
So you're saying the absolute opposite of what Dave,
the King of Mexico, told me.
No,
I heard what he said, and what he said is, yes, Dave, you're right, but also lift your head. You know, and
he didn't say that.
Then he gave some medical mumbo-jumbo, you know. It's just like when your computer's not working. I'm sure there's a better way to fix your computer, but when you slap it, it'll work.
Can you imagine?
This is what you're doing.
Could you imagine being Dave's mom going?
No.
Going, Dave, I'm gonna. You're absolutely wrong what you just said. He goes, yeah, I heard my mom tell me I'm right.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, I know.
That's Dave
I'm
in
right.
a nutshell, right there.
I know I'm right, and you just confirmed it. Thank you.
Oh God.
So that
poor
one has.
Krista. I'll say prayers for her.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That one has been solved, Kevin. So keep doing whatever you're doing.
All right.
Even though it's not working. Hey, can we ask you about one more real quick thing, Dr. Drew, since we have you on?
You bet.
Christine tipped us off to this a couple days ago. Potentially huge news is the headline from Glamour.com. This new condom may be able to kill HIV, herpes, and other STDs. Why isn't this bigger news if there's anything to it?
Well, you know, everyone knows that medical reporting is all, at best, caught through Glamour magazine. So, of course,
that's
got to be factually correct. But, look, these sorts of products are out there and being developed. And absolutely, that is a goal in the future to find some sort of either applicant or something on a condom or something that can reduce the viral risk of exposure. But let's remind ourselves, the virus is in the fluid, and so wherever the fluid goes, it can also transmit, particularly when it comes to herpes. And so while it might reduce the transmission rate, it's not going to – it's a good product. It's a great idea. There are other products like that out there. But these are things that are going to reduce the risk, not eliminate the risk. And the impact on HIV is purely theoretical at this point.
You lost me at fluid.
This says lab studies found it to decimate about 99.9% of HIV, herpes, and HPV viruses. It's a 0.5% astrodimer sodium, which I guess is what we're talking about, that they somehow put called Viva Gel that's on the condom.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a good idea, and those kinds of things are going to – we will have something like that in the not-too-distant future. But at the moment, that is still sort of a good idea and not yet been proven.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that, and we'll learn to not sleep with our legs above our head. You can watch Dr. Drew on the HLN show Monday through Friday nights at 6. See him with his good friend Mike Catherwood hosting Love Line on K-Rock 5 nights a week. And the fine family of Dr. Drew podcasts available at podcastone.com or drdrew.com. Hey, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Have fun down there.
You people keep yelling. What's wrong with you? Everybody's so upset.
48 hours?
Everybody's so upset. It's the world famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
We're not upset. We're just asking you to do your job. That's all we're asking, man. That's all we're asking.
I'm easily distracted. And in Comic-Con, if you're easily distracted, it's trouble. Yeah. He's hobnobbing with the D is what he's doing.
That's what he's doing.
He cares a lot more about Tenacious D than he does about his old friends, Bean and Ralph.
Well,
that's
so
all.
Do I, frankly.
I was going to say, don't we all? Hey, update on the missing plane. The Air Algeria plane that went missing last night. They now say it has crashed. They have not found a crash site yet. So at least this doesn't look like – it's bad news. It's terrible news. It's tragic.
Wait a minute. A plane's not in the air anymore and they think it crashed?
As opposed to missing. As opposed to the one that got beamed up by the UFOs.
The planes don't go missing. Either they're in the air or they're on the ground. There's the only two places planes are.
Or aliens took them. You don't know. Aliens took the Malaysia Air 370. I'll tell you that. There's no question about that. But this Algerian one does not appear to be the case. So there is an update. We are keeping you posted on that.
No, we're not.
First,
we're not doing that.
The Tenacious D joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
And you know when we're not doing it? During Showbiz Beat. That's when we're not doing the plane update.
Just a quick update for people.
Would you carve out a little plane break for yourself?
Just the plane.
No, you can do the plane beat.
No, we don't want him any time talking about that.
Just trying to stay current, Ralph. That's
you can
all.
Stay current to yourself.
Here's something current. You know who has the number one album in the country right now, according to the Billboard Top 100?
Preach it.
Sonny and Cher?
Sonny and Cher. You're right.
Yes, Kevin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah! Come on.
Right?
Applause. Slight applause from the crowd here.
Mandatory Fun is number one in its debut week. Over 100,000 copies sold so far.
Al's been making records for 32 years or something like that. The highest he's ever gotten in the charts before this is number 9.
All right. Well, this is impressive then.
Absolutely.
Good for him.
Congratulations, Al.
There's your Weird Al update from old Harry Potter down there at the end of the the end of the table.
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
Well, we know that,
Bean. That's true.
And, of course, since he's so successful, it was just a matter of time. But it has been announced there's now going to be a porn parody of Weird Al's movie UHF.
What? The what?
UHF.
UHF was the Weird Al movie from the 80s. And now they're making a porn parody of it.
What would the title be?
I know
that. UHFU?
UHFU in the A?
Okay. All right.
The weird thing about it, I've seen stills from the shoot. And Weird Al is being played by a woman.
Oh, that's
Weird
uncomfortable.
Al is being played by a woman.
Yeah, I don't...
That's a pretty Weird Al. If Al's a chick, that's pretty weird.
I don't want any Al in my sexy time at all.
Oh, please.
In any way, shape, or form.
Do you think of anything else when you're pleasuring yourself but Weird Al?
Al is completely a pure thing.
No one's buying that.
It should not be polluted with dirtiness.
You don't have a single pure thing about you. Is there anything you'd like to admit about Weird Al and your penis, Bean?
Yeah, I mean, I have Al tattooed on my penis.
That's what I thought.
Timing. Right. Timing.
Good work, Mugs. Timing.
Thank you.
Simon Cowell has issued a statement saying that he is not gay.
Oh, I can stop tweeting that then?
Yes, please stop. Someone in a courtroom in the UK testified that he saw Simon Cowell engage in gay behavior.
I wonder what that trial is that something like that would even be discussed in a courtroom.
It has something to do with some judge that was on the X Factor in the UK, and there's some sort of civil suit, and some record executive said that he saw Simon Cowell engage in gay behavior.
Huh. Hmm. Well, it's not a crime.
Well, of course not. But he's also been with a woman for a long time. They stole his best friend's woman and got her pregnant.
Knocked up his best friend's wife.
He's wrecking his way through the women of the world.
Simon said, "I am not gay." However, Seacrest, come on, let's be honest.
That was his quote,
wasn't it? That was his quote, and he's right. It is Comic-Con weekend. Of course, everyone talking about Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Can't wait for that movie.
I can't either.
Mark Ruffalo, of course, the Hulk. He lost his wallet in Chicago last week, and a guy was kind enough not only to find it, but then track him down by first going on Google to find out who Mark Ruffalo was. I can't believe I didn't know who Mark Ruffalo was.
He didn't even know.
And when he found out, he found him on Twitter and tweeted, "I found your wallet. If you'd like it back, come see me."
How about that?
And they worked it out, and Ruffalo has been tweeting his praises all week long, saying how nice that somebody went out of their way like that to return his cash and his credit cards and his ID and everything else.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It is good news because you definitely don't want to make Mark Ruffalo mad, right?
See, because he's playing.
Because you know what happens to him.
Yeah, he plays the Hulk.
Hulk smash.
Right, you don't want to make Hulk mad. Right. You wouldn't want to see me when I'm mad.
File?
Okay. Yep.
Yes, please.
We're talking about Mark Ruffalo. Bean, he plays the Hulk.
I think
completely
this week,
appropriate.
This week, Bean has filled the file to capacity.
The cabinet won't close.
That's correct. Yeah. All him.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Lopez is 45 years old today. Kristen Chenoweth turns 46. Laura Layton is also 46. Anna Paquin's 32. Damages star Rose Byrne turns 35 years old. Summer Glau is 33. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men is 32.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that looks like a lot. By moving your finger on a bell?
It looks like a lot of work to ring that bell.
Yes, it is.
Just,
yes, wow. I am.
It's time to just put you down.
Seriously.
And since we are at Comic-Con, it's only right that the original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, celebrates her 63rd birthday today. Give me a little theme. Yeah.
This is a good theme, by the way.
Great theme.
All the world is waiting for you.
That's where it goes south.
Rob, I hate to ask a dumb question. But
no, you don't.
Why was everything in the plane invisible except for Wonder Woman? Why wouldn't Wonder Woman also be invisible if she's inside the flying plane?
Because she's not invisible.
Right, but if the plane is.
But if the plane is invisible.
If the plane's invisible, that means you can see through the plane, right? So you would see what's inside the plane, which is Wonder Woman.
Right, but what I'm saying is you don't see the seat, you don't see the flight
That's
attendant.
That's invisible.
The seat is invisible.
Everything's invisible
the
except
plane.
For her.
The plane is invisible.
Obviously. Huh.
It doesn't sound realistic.
Holy crap.
You're not going to survive Comic-Con, Bean.
I mean, that's
You're
going
to make
this
sure
show the way it's going.
You're going to make sure of it, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What are we doing here, man? We're going for genius. Let's do it. Let's get serious. Let's get physical.
I'm gonna s*** you gently.
They formed a band they named Tenacious D. And then they got to pick a destiny.
Rocking and freaking rolling and freaking rocking and freaking rolling and freaking
the government totally sucks, you mother trucker.
The government totally sucks.
I am the owner. I make the rock go. It's the rock.
Are the greatest fan in the world, and if you don't believe it, just ask them, ladies and gentlemen, the D at Comic-Con here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from the Hard Rock in San Diego. Hi, boys.
Hi.
You guys do the best packages for us.
Well, we try.
You do have the best and biggest packages.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you for noticing that.
That's the great work of our DJ Omar Khan right there. Now, Jack, you were trying to, right off air before we were going on, you were trying to make some twisted analogy that you lost me on about how this is Comic-Con and you guys are doing your Festival Supreme, but that's try that again, because I missed it the first time.
That's why we're here. We came down here to talk about Festival Supreme, our festival, or i.e. comedy convention,
Okay.
And we thought, what better place to talk about it than the biggest comic book convention in the world? It's just, I don't know what I'm saying.
There's a crossover, and the demographic is perfect for it.
Okay.
We're on a tour of all the conventions and festivals where we're talking about our festival.
Now, the last time we had you on, not that long ago, is when tickets were getting ready to be announced and go on sale for the Festival Supreme, which is October the 25th at the LA Sports Arena in Exposition Park.
That's right.
And this is a huge show with everybody. Cheech and Chong and The State and Fred Armisen. Bill Hader, Nick Kroll, Bro Burnham, the Damn Band, the Aquabats. It just goes on and on. 100 acts.
Yeah.
And we put that on sale, and that's selling well. But you're down here this weekend just going around literally taking credit card numbers from people that you run into on the street.
Exactly.
You're selling them tickets?
Is that legal?
He's got one of those machines in his pocket.
Yeah. I may have a couple in my back paw cut. But, just spreading the word and, creating the buzz. That's how you do in this biz. You create the buzz.
Right.
And then you try to fan the flames of the buzz.
Right.
You know, if you had called it Comic Con, because there's comics at a convention,
you would have had a nice
crossover confusion factor.
You might have something there.
You could have sold a couple extra tickets.
Come
people were just
the
confused.
The other Comic Con.
That's right.
There you go.
You just put an S
Comic Con.
You know, it would be a better name for our festival, because our festival has actual comics, comedians.
Right.
Comics.
That's right.
This festival, it has comic books, but comic books aren't comic books anymore. You know, there's no funny cartoon books. They're all like really serious and,
yeah, it's zombies now.
It's
not Archie.
It should be ZombieCon, right?
Is Constantine a comedy?
No,
because they're a big thing.
A lot of Constantine.
It should be Graphic Novel Con.
Yes.
Let us have Comic Con.
Much better name.
Because you've got Norm Macdonald, you've got Drunk History, you got all the actual comics.
And we also have a lot of things that no one's ever seen before, things that you're not going to see anywhere else, like Workaholics, the incredible, hilarious television show. Those guys are actually, theater dudes. They came from a sketch comedy background, and they're going to throw down live.
They do a tap dance routine, if I'm not mistaken.
They do. Exactly. And
very funny.
You're not going to see their tap dance routine anywhere else. So you have to come see it live at the Festival Supreme. And that also goes for our insane. We have this, because last year we just did comedy and music combination.
Right.
But this year we're going comedy, music, and terror.
It's a
three-way sauce.
Huh.
And
that's what's been missing from my comedy is abject terror.
Exactly.
Trifecta.
Well, we're going to have this, it's like a haunted house carnival, because we wanted to have like a total experience a ride that you would like get. Like we were thinking big, like Walt Disney. I sound like Kanye West now. We are the next Walt Disney.
We are geniuses.
He kind of stole the whole conceited psychopath from us, didn't he?
Yes.
We started it.
He took it.
Well, it is Halloween week, so the haunted house does make sense. October 25th at the L.A. Sports Arena and Exposition Park. Now, just to be clear, though, because we have a lot of people listening who are coming down for the weekend at the con here, no D action happening this weekend, though. You guys don't have a show that you're doing together or anything like that.
Well, I brought my guitar.
All right, good.
So maybe
I might stroll around Comic Con,
some street,
like start playing
like a troubadour,
just on a street corner,
put a hat out.
Always be promoting, Ralph. You know,
sure.
I mean, whenever we get together, there's a there's
a chance of rock.
There's a potential.
There's an 80% chance of rock.
Exactly. It is like a thunderstorm.
Not 80, but
62.
It's partly rocky with a chance of roll.
Now, Jack, you're going to have your actor hat on as well. You are actually going to be part of.
I think he brought his actor hat with him. It's right there in his hand.
No, that's my. Ingenious costume.
All right, let's talk
see
about
if anyone
that.
Recognizes.
I was going to tweet that, costume. But then I realized it would give it away.
All right, what can and can't we say about your costume, Jack?
Well, I bought a hat. I almost gave too much away.
We don't have to say what it is.
It doesn't matter, because you know what? I bought this helmet. I bought a Stormtrooper helmet.
Okay, now it's out
there. I started wearing it because I wanted just to be able to walk freely through the con and buy things. And then I think the person that I bought the helmet from must have tweeted it out or something, because every single person that I bumped into was like, Jack Black, I know you're under that helmet, man. Let me have a selfie.
There's other things that make you recognizable besides
your
head.
You're a little shorter.
I knew it was you.
You're a little shorter than a Stormtrooper. The line is, aren't you a little short for a Stormtrooper,
Kevin?
Come on.
All I know is, that's right. And nice also, quote. Nice callback.
And also, they don't wear three-piece suits, I don't think.
Right. Well, today I'm wearing my R.L. Stein costume because I'm in a movie, Goosebumps. So I'm down here actually double-dipping.
Okay.
I got Festival Supreme, but also I got Goosebumps, this kick-ass scary movie I did for kids.
That is going to be at 12:30. That's going to be at 12:30.
That's right.
At the Sapphire Ballroom of the Hilton Bayfront Hotel is where you're going to be with Goosebumps.
And we're going to have a lot of special secret surprise treats for you.
I'm
not telling you. I'm not telling you anything.
I thought I could trick you.
You almost did. Yeah. The who barrage almost broke me down.
You almost buckled.
Well, it normally works.
If there was one more who, I think you would crack. I think, honestly, you stopped just
my
short.
My bad.
Jack, you have kids.
I do have two boys.
Goosebumps, is that in there? Is that right there in their wheelhouse?
Well, yeah, they haven't started reading the books yet. They're 6 and 8, but they're right.
That's
on
a
the
big
brink.
Thing for the youngsters.
Yeah,
right?
And they do like the old scary movies, so I know they're going to be into the Goosebumps. That's part of the reason I did the movie. But yeah, we watch a lot of old movies together, like the original Frankenstein and Dracula
and the School of Rock.
And
old
no,
movies.
I don't force them to watch my movies yet.
Seem to go with those classics.
Do they think you're cool?
They kind of think I'm cool, but already it's creeping in that they think I'm lame.
Yeah.
That's just an automatic thing.
You've got another year.
Of big,
maybe. Maybe another year.
At 9 years old, that's when
pretty much
the whole world comes.
Then you're just an embarrassment. When
then you're like, please walk 25 yards behind me.
Drop me off 3 blocks from school.
I remember
we'll
that.
Hoof it.
How come Kyle is always cool, by the way? Why is he eternally cool for all ages?
I don't say anything. That's why.
That's a good point.
And then you never know. You put your impressions on me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hmm. And it's
crazy
the,
like a fox, that
It's
cage.
The bald cap I've been wearing.
This is also the first time you've ever met Bean.
I know.
Person.
I didn't That's even want to make a big deal. It's a huge deal for me.
That's strange.
I've been a fan for decades.
Kyle walked up to me, and it was like I was coming across a tribe in the Amazon that had not ever seen a white person before.
Yeah.
He just walked up to me,
it's
put his hands
Starstruck,
on me, and just starts touching my face. He's like, you're real. You're real.
Well, he thought you were a Herman Munster cosplayer. That's why. He thought he was meeting one of the cast members of the Munsters.
With Mr. Magoo glasses.
He thought you were Fred Gwynn for a moment.
All right. We have to take a quick break. The D is here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for Tenacious D, by the way, stopping by here.
Right.
You can buy their tickets for the Festival Supreme, and you should, at festivalsupreme.frontgatetickets.com. What an unbelievable lineup. October 25th at the LA Sports Arena and Exposition Park. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock. You are worth nothing. You're ugly. God hates you.
The world famous K-Rock.
The real Tenacious D. Tenacious D.
Oh, the real Tenacious D.
Right.
Jack Black.
Those Tenacious D cosplayers we saw earlier at the con.
Kyle Gass sitting with us here at the Hard Rock Hotel Comic-Con. Why did one of you guys bring up Manimal? Why did that? Why was that the off-air conversation we were just having?
I don't know what brought it up, but I just saw in the newspaper that Manimal was a new movie that... because you
Adam
remind
McKay,
me
right?
of Adam McKay.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Bean reminds me of Adam McKay. And
which
I said,
is bizarre beyond words, because Adam McKay is super talented.
And nice.
Enjoys people.
Yeah. They have a similar quality.
Nope.
And that got me thinking about Adam McKay's new movie he's doing with Will Ferrell and Manimal. And it's just one of those announcements where I'm just so jealous because I'm like, Manimal, why didn't I think of it?
Now, Manimal.
You guys, I brought the intro.
You did?
You did? Yeah.
You brought it with you. Manimal?
You carry around the Manimal?
Well, yeah,
with
it inspires me.
That's
I
a
just,
strange
I don't know
thing
if
to carry around.
Queued up. I got it in like a tape recorder.
Yeah, sure. Let's hear. Hold that up to the microphone. Let's hear a little bit of the Manimal theme here.
Dr. Jonathan Chase. Wealthy, young, handsome. A man with the brightest of futures. A man with the darkest of pasts.
Yeah.
From Africa's deepest recesses to the rarefied peaks of Tibet.
It goes into
heir to his father's legacy and the world's darkest mystery.
All right, could you stop it right there for a second?
How dare you? You don't interrupt Manimal.
Is this a TV intro or are we listening to an audiobook of somebody reading?
I told you it's the longest intro I've ever seen.
You guys, I can rewind.
Now, Manimal, we're going to hear more of it, but Manimal sounds like something that they just invented for the Sci-Fi Channel that is like Sharknado. But this is from the 80s. Right?
Yeah. I don't know that much about it. I just read about it this morning, and I'm already sick of talking about how awesome Will Ferrell is. But let me just say this. Drunk History is a show. Have you seen this show,
Drunk
History?
Of course. Drunk History, yes.
By the way, Bean, who never drinks, has offered to do drunk history.
I have. What? I'll do it. Yeah. Why are
so
you
just like a beer and a half?
Are you guys
ready
on
to
it?
Talk about the Declaration of Independence?
Yes, I'm on a drunk history. But I just wanted to mention that they're going to be at Festival Supreme live.
That's a plug. Okay.
You never thought that the drunk history could be done live.
It's
going to be done live.
Oh, I like that because there might be puke.
This is like Dylan going electric. This is drunk history live.
Oh,
it's unheard of. It's going to be on stage.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now I feel bad about cutting off Manimal for my plug.
Let's hear a little more Manimal that Kyle brought with him.
Okay, so you must have faith and learn. This is not the end. This is the beginning.
What's happening?
Jonathan Chase, master of the secrets that divide man from animal. Animal from man. Manimal.
Awesome.
So is he half man, half animal?
No, you're
he's
welcome.
Mastered.
Idiot.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's a
sakes.
Man who can turn into animals.
Oh, he can be any animal he wants?
Well, yeah. No, there's just a couple. He can be a Black Panther. He can be a hawk. He can be a snake.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ones.
No, he's all man, but at any moment he could go to any animal.
Right.
Like mosquito. He could do that.
That's not an animal.
All right.
Mansect.
Nice.
I can see why you were disappointed that you didn't get your hooks into Manimal first.
Well, I was saying, though, if me and Kyle went to the head of the studio and said, hey, Manimal, they'd say, get out of here.
Not so
but
much.
When
not
Will we Ferrell and Adam McKay march up with
this. Two-headed Manimal.
I can tell. It's going to be the funniest movie of all time. I'm a little jealous.
Are they going to do it live at Festival Supreme? Do you think?
It's possible. Can I say that it's possible?
Of course.
That you will see a live Manimal presentation by Will Ferrell.
Anything's possible.
Supreme.
All right, before we go.
It's possible that the Beatles will be at Festival Supreme.
Correct.
October 25th.
At the L.A. Sports Arena and Exposition Park. Tenacious D will be there. Cheech and Chong, Workaholics, Jenny Slate, Dr. Demento, Doug Benson, Maria Bamford. I mean, it's
Aquabats.
Insane.
Aquabats will be there, right?
Did you say Metalocalypse?
I did not, but they're going to be there as well. Eagles of Death Metal are going to be there. It just goes on and on and on. Here's what we're going to do real quick before we say goodbye to the D here. We're going to give away one pair of tickets to Festival Supreme right now for caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067.
You're taking this pair right out of their pockets.
Hope you feel good about that. And we're going to give away a couple of pair to people who are here right in front of us at Comic-Con. A couple of will win tickets to Festival Supreme.
Do I get to choose?
They're on Kyle. You have to take them. Can Kyle choose? Kyle,
who do you
want?
Can.
I wonder how you're going to choose who gets the ticket.
Oh, now he doesn't want to because he feels bad.
Let's see if we can guess what kind of person Kyle likes.
Kyle Gass has separated the mysteries of man and animal. Animal and man, he is.
I'll never hear the end of it. I withdraw my offer.
You just said, can I pick?
No.
All right, listen, we got to say goodbye to you guys.
Okay.
Why? Don't we like them anymore?
Goosebumps panel. Jack, you're going to be doing that. That's at the Hilton Bayfront starting at 12:30 today. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Good luck. When's that movie coming out, by the way?
Comes out next summer.
Next summer, okay.
We're really stoked about it. We really hit a home run, I'm pretty sure.
And Kyle, it's great to see you, my friend. Thanks so much.
Is it too late for a small part?
You should ask him.
Kyle, are you not in? I think you might be in there.
In Goosebumps?
Are you not in Goosebumps?
I think you might be in there. It's not a good sign,
I play the
Kyle.
Bump?
Dude, you're in the next one. You're in the next one. Goosebumps 2 is all about you.
I remember all those good movies.
Let's hear it for the D stopping by here today at Carrick. Thanks, guys. Ralph joins us. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Justin Bieber's in the news. That's the nice thing about Comic-Con. It's completely Bieber-free.
Right?
It is. Yeah,
100% Bieber-free.
You know, I'm surprised he doesn't start showing up here like he does at heavyweight fights and everything else just to be
every
in
other
the
place
hat.
Where there's a spotlight, he does tend to show
exactly.
up, doesn't he? You try that around here, you get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
And rightfully so.
And when comic book geeks can kick your ass, you've got trouble.
You are flimsy. He has showed up at Disneyland this week. People did not appreciate the fact that he went to the front of every line in a wheelchair. Because there's only two possible answers. Either A, he was faking an injury to get to the front of the line, or B, he was already going to the front of the line but just didn't want to walk to the front of the line.
That's a lot of walking. Have you gone?
Yes, I have gone to Disneyland.
It's a lot of walking.
It is a lot of walking, but it's not that much
But aren't
walking.
Other people who aren't 20 and healthy able to do it?
Apparently. Most people are, yes.
His people are saying he had a knee injury from a hard basketball game, and that's why he needed to sit in the wheelchair.
Please.
That a hard basketball
unlikely.
Game.
Yeah. Basketball game in quotes.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
He sure is. Britney Spears is coming out with her own lingerie line.
Nope.
She is.
Yeah, she
That's
is.
That's what it says on Ralph's screen. I can see it from here.
I mean, she started her career in a bra with that Baby One More Time video, right? That was her big deal.
That's when she should have started selling this stuff.
Well, she didn't need the money. Now she does. It's called The Intimate Collection by Britney Spears.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's either, Lisa. Here's an interesting fun fact. Britney has appeared in her underwear on the cover of Rolling Stone a total of 5 times. She's the record holder.
Huh. Is that right?
For most covers in her underwear. So maybe she knows a thing or two about underwear. I know she doesn't know anything to do about shoes.
Yeah.
Because she's always walking
around.
She does
seem barefoot.
Barefoot in, like, public restrooms at truck stops.
I think Rolling
Stone's... she's servicing guys for beer money.
Rolling Stone's editorial decision to put her in her underwear every time they feature on the cover says a lot about what they think about her music, too, doesn't it?
Well, we've all heard her sing without the auto-tune. This, huh? This is some sad news. Fox has pulled its plug. Not its plug, but pulled the plug. On its special to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Evel Knievel's attempt to jump the Snake River Canyon. Do you remember that one when that was a thing?
Sort of.
Evel Knievel used to jump all sorts of stuff, right?
He did. He was a motorcycle daredevil, primarily. He would jump buses and the fountains at Caesar's Palace and things like that.
But didn't he get like 12 feet across and fall?
But then he upped his ante. He said, I'm going to take a rocket. I'm going to shoot myself across the Snake River Canyon in a rocket.
Right.
And the rocket went... and went off the thing, and the chute deployed, and he went down to the bottom of the Snake River Canyon.
I could do that.
So they're going to replicate that. Fox was. They were going to do a special, but they've decided they're going to pull the plug now because the two stuntmen who were going to complete it said it probably would not go well.
Who's our guy that we have all the time now, the modern-day Evel Knievel, who jumps
his son, Robbie.
And,
Captain Robbie.
Captain Robbie.
Oh, yeah. Is he even active anymore? Does he even do this stuff anymore?
I don't believe so.
Remember when you asked him what he was a captain, and he just laughed?
I do. Yeah. I do. Some of these X Games guys, though, don't we have that guy who, like, jumped the Great Wall of China? And you know those guys that do
well,
all those
Danny Wade did that on a skateboard.
Skateboard, yeah. It's, I mean,
but I don't think you can go over the Grand Canyon in a skateboard.
No. There were cost overruns for building this rocket ship that they were trying to put together, and that's why they had to pull the plug. The budget was getting too high.
Because
you can't go over on a BMX bike. Something a little more jet-powered.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And Arrested Development star Portia de Rossi... it's been announced. We'll join the cast of ABC's Scandal for the upcoming 4th season. Ellen DeGeneres tweeted about it, saying how happy she was that her wife will now get out of the house. No, she didn't say that. More casting news. Jessica Biel's going to be a New Girl.
All right.
That's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
Sure.
And my favorite story of the day, Duran Duran has sued its own fan club.
Why?
Because apparently the fan club signed a deal with the band saying the group would get 75% of all the money that came from selling merchandise and stuff. And Duran Duran thinks they're cheating them, so they're taking them to court. They're suing the Duran Duran fan club.
Wait, say that again. They get 75% of what?
The band gets 75% of all the merch sales that are done via the website from the fan club.
Oh,
so all
I
the
see.
Duran Duran t-shirts and posters and calendars, whatever it is, whatever they sell through the fan club.
So the fan club is selling them.
The band, right. The band is supposed to get 75% of the profits of those sales. And Duran Duran thinks that their own fan club is cheating them out of money. So they're suing them. And both of the guys in the fan club are very sad about it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Lopez celebrates her 45th birthday today. Kristen Chenoweth is 46. Laura Layton, she is 46 as well. Anna Paquin from True Blood is 32. It's the last season of True Blood coming up, right?
Yeah.
It's all she wrote. Damages star Rose Byrne is 35. Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, is 63 years old. Summer Glau turns 33. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men is 32. Really? You get Elizabeth Moss?
I think so. I think she's pretty cute.
No.
They dress her up. They make
Dave
her,
says no.
They
Dave
make,
hasn't talked much all show, but he came up for that one.
They make her look a little thicker than she is in real life on Mad Men.
By putting a camera on her?
No, we saw her in another show, and she was really cute and very fit.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone relax.
No, she is.
With the really cute and very thin.
She is. She's cute. She's cute.
She's not as hideous as she looks in Mad Men. That's the best you can say.
I accept the argument that she may be one of those women who is attractive but not sexy, and therefore the bell is debatable. I am giving her a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, I think.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, live from San Diego Comic-Con. But before that, we do have a beer mug with a little plug of where he's going to be. Now, he's been doing this with a different musical style every day.
That's right. He did rap. He did reggae. He did opera. So, beer mug, where are you going to be with the Hot Topic today to give away all the great K-Rock prizes?
Come on down, West Covina Hot Topic. 268 Plaza Drive. I'll be rolling hog spit. If you want some tickets, we'll be doing fun contests. Put my boot up your ass. It's a K-Rock stick hit. Yeah!
Once again, I'm impressed.
That was actually...
Ralph, you always talk about how anyone can be a country star.
Yeah,
I've heard positive. I've heard worse songs on the radio than what I just heard Beer Mug
doing. I'm pretty sure he said, "I'll be rolling in hog spit."
He did say that.
Yeah.
Either spit or something worse.
I'm not sure.
That is going to be from 1 positive. Till 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Hot Topic in West Covina at the Plaza West Covina. Again, starting at 1 o'clock, Mugs will be there with the sticker. You can get tickets to go see Bastille, A Day to Remember, the 1975, and so much more. Details at krock.com.
Tomorrow morning, we have Zachary Levi on the program as we broadcast from Comic-Con. We have Ian Ziering and Tara Reid on the program talking about Sharknado 2, the second one.
Can't wait.
This time it's on the other coast, man.
That's right.
New York.
When you think Comic-Con, you think who? Chris Martin from Coldplay?
Absolutely.
Sure.
So we've got him as well tomorrow morning, and a little fellow by the name of Daniel Radcliffe on the program tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's horrible. K-Rock. Hey,